got it, dude.
You're never gonna want it, don't you?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
I don't know what you see. It was bad.
What I see is me.
Absolutely.
You wanna have your cake and eat it too.
They thought I was you.
Hello. And
welcome
to
another
episode
of
They
Thought
I
Was
You.
You can continue.
Okay, we didn't plan this at all.
No, we didn't. It just came from our hearts.
It just came right from our hearts.
Because we were being very spontaneous.
Like
SNL.
No, because SNL is scripted.
Yeah, but it's live.
So, hey, this is a podcast where we re-examine Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's careers through a modern-day feminist lens. I'm Becca Roth. I'm a writer, director, / American Eagle wearer.
Oh, and I'm Lanny Harms. I'm a writer, actor, and American Eagle writer. American Eagle wearer as well. Yes. I am in head to toe American Eagle. I'm going to stand up for our listeners at home, as in our Patreoners.
Our Patreoners at home. Ooh, hello, Diane Keaton at age 6.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. Yeah, it's very Diane Keaton. I'm wearing linen pants from American Eagle, a vest from American Eagle, a t-shirt from American Eagle. And Becca, what are you wearing?
What I'm wearing is I'm wearing a flowy white beach. It's called like the beach shirt.
It's gorgeous.
It's like huge and billowy.
And
it just
like
goes on forever. This is what I'm going to wear to my art gallery.
As you should. I'm thrilled. I have all of my boxes came. All the boxes have been exchanged and the order is fulfilled and so is my life.
I am so happy for you.
Are you changing the camera angle so that you can see my pants?
No, I was actually just changing it because I feel like this is a better frame.
This is great because you can see my pants.
Exactly. Yes, I did it so that I could see your pants. So you guys.
Thank you, Alyssa. Shout out.
Thank you so much, Alyssa.
And if you want a shout out, send us things from the company you work at.
Yeah, if anyone wants a shout out, send us presents.
Okay,
so Lanny, what are we talking about today?
Today we are, it's such an exciting episode.
It really is.
Like my heart was a flutter this morning.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
It's Saturday morning.
It's Saturday morning.
Live from LA, it's
Saturday morning. We are recording this on a Saturday for the Saturday night episode.
Saturday night.
Wow,
live.
I'm like a little loopy. I'm not used to recording in the morning.
I know, it's a little bit strange.
It's okay. I'm going to make it through. But we are recording our review of the Olsen Twins, American and Ashley.
Saturday Night Live.
From 2004.
20 years ago, yes. These girls were the hosts of the season finale.
Season finale, guys.
Jimmy Fallon's last show. Of Saturday Night Live.
Of Saturday Night Live.
So we never do this.
No.
We just watched this just now together. On my couch. We've never done this before. Maybe again.
Maybe again.
We don't know. But we did it because it's on Peacock and Lanny doesn't have Peacock.
Nope.
And I don't know my Peacock login.
Mm-hmm.
So we just did it here.
Our hands are tied.
Yeah.
And also, interesting enough, so when we went in to go watch this, we were so excited seeing the opening and all. We'll get into it all.
Yeah.
But then it just goes right into the first sketch.
The monologue has been deleted.
What? That's not okay.
We're talking about this.
We have a responsibility.
Doing the entire episode. And so my first thought was like, oh, you know, they probably deleted it just because, like, you know, they delete stuff for all different reasons.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, because like with the Oprah, like we didn't get to watch the whole thing, mm-hmm. obviously. But like with this, it's like for a second, I was like, if we don't get to watch it, like, you know, we'll still get the gist. I'm really happy we watched it. And it's also very clear why they cut it because it's like very, well, you know what?
No, it's not clear why they cut it.
What I thought when I first watched it, I was like, it's clear they cut it because it's racist. But the whole show is incredibly racist.
Was the monologue racist?
The Black Neighborhood.
Oh, they had one
which
joke.
Is, but compared like to the rest of the show, it's very, like, literally the whole show is so racist, so homophobic, so sexist, so ableist. Like, it's just, it's like, it's unbelievable. It really is such a fun little time capsule.
Such a fun little time capsule.
But we found the monologue.
Yes. And we're going to link it below. There's actually a bunch of videos to most of the show.
Yes.
We kind of pieced it together between Peacock and these Vimeo videos that we
had
that we found from Olsen Obsessed.
Right. So if you guys want to watch it, It is basically on Peacock. The monologue is on Vimeo. We will link it. Also, yes, pieces of the show are on Vimeo, but we're pretty sure we watched the whole show.
Pretty sure. Except for the musical.
The musical act, Jaquan. Yeah. We didn't, but I never watched the musical act anyway. And that's like irrelevant.
But I always like, I actually do sometimes like looking at watching the musical act. And I also really like the host introducing them. Sometimes funny stuff happens.
Sometimes funny stuff does happen, but we didn't see that. But anyway, we did basically watch it.
I think we watched the whole, most. We watched enough.
We watched it.
Yeah, we watched it.
So yeah, we're just gonna, it was really hard because we love to talk about everything. Yeah. And we just kind of sat there quietly writing our little notes. So we actually, I don't know how you felt about it.
I don't really know how you felt. Idea. Well, we did hear each other laugh.
We laughed, or we were like, oh my God.
Yeah, we did.
Or like
we'd
like grab each other when it was like racist.
Yeah. when it was so painful.
We have an idea of each other's like moral code, which is nice. But anyway, Lanny, okay.
Imagine if I had like cracked up laughing at like Jimmy Fallon's offensive accents.
Like, that's good. I don't know what I would think. I don't think that I would. I can't imagine a world where you would think that is funny. Yeah. But if you did, I think I would just be like, Lanny, do you understand what you're doing? And then you would be like, yeah, it really kills me. And I would be like, Lanny, what's wrong with you? And you'd be like, this is what I think is funny.
Yeah.
And I would be like, okay, I don't think, yeah, you're like, this is really funny to me. It's very important to me that you understand that. And I'm like, I don't get it. And I don't think that you're a good person.
Mm-hmm. And we'd have to end the podcast.
And you'd leave.
Yeah.
And we'd just be done.
And I'd say, well, if this is what everyone's so sensitive these days.
These days.
No one can make a joke. And I grumble all the way home.
Yeah. thank God that didn't happen.
No, that's not the reality.
But okay. So let's backtrack a little because I did want to ask you while you're watching. So I kind of mentioned a little bit that I used to watch a lot when we were watching. I used to watch it a lot as a teen.
Yeah.
What was your like just history with SNL growing up?
Yeah. I didn't watch it that much.
Yeah.
Which is, I like do a lot of sketch comedy now.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I don't watch a lot of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So it's strange. I can't really describe it. I think my parents watched it. It was definitely on. Like it was kind of like a, oh, right, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do? Why don't you just put Saturday Night Live on? Okay. Yeah. So like that was like my relationship. A lot of people like, you know, make sure they're home to watch it every Saturday night.
Well, back then when you had to watch it live, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I watched it sometimes, but not a ton.
Yeah, and you never watched, did you never see this episode?
I want to say I didn't.
Yeah.
Even though I do remember this happening, and I remember some of the sketches, like the Swan sketch feels very in my memory. So
yeah.
I almost wonder if I did turn it on.
Yeah.
But I was just so checked out at this point with them.
Yeah.
Just kind of being like, oh, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like how people are treating them. I just kind of want to just pretend this never happened.
Right. So it wasn't like you were in a place where you were like, everything that Mary Kay and Ashley put out, you would make sure to consume. It was like, you're just in a different place with them.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I watched it, but I don't have any memory of it. So I just feel like I felt weird about it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I definitely watched this episode. I'm sure I watched it when it was on. Mm-hmm. I did watch SNL a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like in high school, there was definitely like a period of time. I guess it was like this time, like sophomore year. Because by like junior year, senior year, I'd like go out a little bit.
Yeah. Saturday nights was when I hit the town.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be out past midnight, family. Deal with it.
But yeah, I definitely like my best friend Molly and I. She lived in San Francisco, and we'd always like every Saturday we text each other. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but every Saturday we text each other who's hosting because there's no internet. I mean, there was barely internet.
Yeah,
And then we'd like
talk about this briefly once. Yes,
but that was back when it was live. It wasn't live everywhere. It was only live on the East Coast. And then it would play at 11:30 on the West Coast. Like it wouldn't play at like 9 or like 8:30. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so, they changed it. Because of course, like what it's with the internet, it's like you can't like wait 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I know. But yeah, so watching this, I definitely like remembered the opening credits with like all the people in the city, like being young and hot and like super 2004. Like it was just like, I really did remember it. So yeah, I watched it a lot. I watched it way more when I was in high school. I basically never watched it after that. Like I haven't watched it in forever.
Oh, wow.
I've seen like sketches. Like I like follow SNL on Instagram, so I've like seen sketches, I've never like, I haven't like sat down and watched an episode of SNL in forever.
Yeah.
I'm actually, after watching this episode, I'm really curious about a lot of specific things if they're still done in the same way.
Well, I've watched a few episodes recently. I've actually reviewed a few SNL episodes for like sketch podcasts before. So that's,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I've seen a few. So I feel like I'll be able to talk about it. For sure, I want to talk about Weekend Update.
Yes.
And how that's different now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I guess we should.
Wait, I have one more question for you before we get in. Okay. Do you have a favorite SNL cast?
Oh my God. I mean, not really, because I feel like, I mean, it's sort of, I guess, kind of this one, because this is the one that I was like watching in real time.
Yeah. You watch this one the most.
Yeah. Cause also like, I mean, I love like what came right after it with like Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and like, Jason Sudeikis and all of that. Like they were also really good. So I would say kind of just like early mid 2000s, which I know is like not peak SNL goodness, but like also a lot of really good people came out of it. I mean, the women on this show are the ones that really stood out.
Like this was like the era of women in SNL.
I mean, they barely got to fucking do anything.
Yeah,
but I feel like, I mean, it's a cliche that it's like the SNL cast that was like the cast when you were in high school is the one you think is the best because that's the one you were sitting at home without a date watching.
Yeah.
But
but I also don't think that there's a bad, like, I don't think this is a bad time in SNL. Are you saying that a lot of people like think of this time as not the greatest of SNL?
Just in watching this, like, I think some of the sketches were pretty rough. Right. And I think it was pretty racist. I mean, I also think that that was just like a product of the time. Like, if anything, it just shows you kind of like the state of comedy at the time and the types of things that people thought were funny.
Right. And I think that's going to be true. I think even in like the best, even the very best casts of SNL, like, have had bad weeks.
Yes.
So I think just because this, if you didn't like this episode, which it sounds like you didn't,
I liked parts of it, but I mean, this was a season finale.
I know.
But anyway,
they're also so tired. The season finale. That's, I think, true. A season premiere of SNL probably has a lot more.
That's true.
Momentum.
That's
than
true.
The season finale.
But I will say, like, I don't want to just fully like review the SNL episode. Like, I think it's just like very cool that Mary-Kate and Ashley hosted the season finale of SNL.
That is
that's
amazing.
Like a really big deal.
That is a huge deal, because it's like, this is, people are like, oh, SNL's last week, I should probably like tune in because I won't have it for the summer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's like a big deal. Like, they're really trying to get people to see it. And
yeah,
that's like, that's putting a lot into them, like a lot of faith in them, kind of.
So do you remember when they hosted, like how you felt about it?
Kinda. I mean, I think I was excited. Like, I still really liked them. I think I felt a little bit more removed from them. Like, I didn't feel like I was watching these people that I was like actively obsessed with.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like they hosted it in like 2000 or something.
Right.
But, or 2002 even.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Could
you imagine them like 1999, right off Passport to Paris, hosting SNL.
No.
Can you imagine Two of a Kind them hosting SNL?
They'd be incredible.
They would be. They wouldn't know. The cast and writers wouldn't know what to do.
They would not know what to do with them. They didn't know what to do with them for this.
No, they didn't know what to do with 17-year-olds. They would not know what to do with 12-year-olds.
No.
But
that would have been so cool.
And they would have been so good.
They would have been good. It's like, if they had been given good material at 12 years old for SNL, they would have been so good. They were at the top of their comedy game. You guys all know this. We've talked about it a million times.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, you know, 12-year-olds don't really need to be doing stuff for adults at midnight on a Saturday. So,
well, who's,
I'm
like
glad
the,
it didn't happen.
Who's the youngest SNL host? Is it like Drew Barrymore? Or like, has she ever even done it?
That's a really good
as a
question.
Young kid?
Can we look?
Yes. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
What? Say it.
Barrymore was famously 7 years old when she stepped onto the Studio 8H stage making her debut.
Okay, I was right. It was her. I guess I knew this.
I guess you did. That's wild.
So old.
So silly. So Mary Kate and Ashley could have been at 12 years
old. They could have absolutely done it at 12. SNL.
Okay. Anyway, so here they are, 17.
So here we are, 17. So yeah, let's just talk about the episode.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, great. Well, they said, and your host, Mary Kate and Ashley, and we both screamed as if we didn't know what we were about to watch. Yes. But I will say, when you click on the episode, it says the Olsen twins.
I know. It doesn't say Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen as the host, which is like fucked up.
It's fucked up. Like, but at least they said it in the, they said, and your host, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. They didn't say the Olsen twins.
Right. Exactly. What is the equivalent? I guess, would they say the Owen brothers if like Luke and.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
Which they wouldn't ever do. They've never been referred to as that.
No. No. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Okay. So the cold open. So one thing this is something that I wonder if they still do, because I always felt like, because I loved SNL, but I always felt like it was like just scarce. Like the good stuff was so scarce because there were such like long, boring things and so many commercials. And then there was maybe like one or two good sketches.
Yeah.
So like I always felt like the cold open was always just like a very boring, rambly political sketch.
Yes.
And I wonder, I think it's still political sketches, but I wonder if they're still long and rambly.
I mean, the last couple that I've seen, it depends, obviously, but like they've always been that way.
Yeah.
They are still that way.
I don't
know
why you open with that, because it's like, I don't know. It's just so.
It's just like a weird tradition. I really thought that the political opening started with like the Tina Fey as, this is maybe sounds so stupid.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. I thought that's when it like that hit. Like they always did political sketches. I'm not saying that was the first political sketch SNL ever did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that was like one of the biggest, most successful cold opens of all time. And then after that, they're like, okay, exclusively politics openings. And I could just be wrong about that. I guess.
Well, you are, because that this was before that.
Exactly.
But I don't know if it always from day one was that. We'd have to check.
Yeah.
But I know, as far as I know, it's always been that. And it can be very boring. I mean, especially if you're a teenager in 2004. I think teenagers now have more interest in politics and like awareness. But like, to me, that was just like really boring grown-up stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think politics is becoming a little bit more intertwined in entertainment generally in our culture, which makes me feel very uneasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people, it's so interesting seeing this one, because it was, they were critiquing the Bush administration.
Yeah.
And talking about how he was dealing with like the war in the Middle East and everything. And it was just such a snapshot into the time.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like I went back and forth to being like, oh wow, this seems so like sweet comparative to what's going on now.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm like, oh God, this set the stage for everything that's going on now.
Wow, that's so dark. I had basically the exact same thoughts. Like my first instinct was like, oh, it's so sweet. It's so tame.
Yeah.
It's really like nothing is as crazy corrupt as it is now, but you're right. It like kind of never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the talking points were so similar.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That was what was so interesting.
Well, it's also crazy that like Bush was the like worst we had at that point. And then it was like, but now he's, I don't know.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. And I think a lot of people like, you know, with rose colored glasses after what has happened are like, oh, wow, that's the worst that could be. And then you forget like how bad things were in their own way back then.
Right.
So this isn't a political podcast,
no. But
it was just, it really just was a smack in the face. Be like, remember, you're in 2004.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, right, remember.
And right off the bat, one of the first jokes is about like Cuba Gooding Jr. playing like a football player who's
the R word. Yeah.
And I was just like, wow.
Wow.
They did that. They made one joke that was really offensive and they got away with it. Little did I know.
Oh, what you're in for.
The whole entire show is just punching down. So.
Oh, and then also Keenan is in this.
Keenan.
So we have to talk about that.
This I don't know if this was his first season, but
he was featuring.
He was featured.
He was early if it wasn't his first. I almost feel like it was probably his first.
That's well, he was newly 26, which is a baby.
Such a baby.
And he's still on it.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's crazy. And also the thing that like blew my mind was like 2004, like Keenan and Kel was like 1999, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was like 5 years before recent. This. I remember, this is what's so crazy. This is how like time is so nonlinear and is just so relative. Is I remember at the time when SNL was on and he got cast being like, whoa. He like disappeared for so long.
Oh yeah,
and now he's on SNL.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, like, he's just came like back. He had a second life.
He's like doing his comeback now.
It's weird. So crazy. Well, when you're a kid, 4 years is a lifetime, and now it's literally like 4 years. Like I can't believe my dog is 8. I just got him as a puppy.
Oh, I feel like way about my cat. Yeah, too.
It's time is just so much slower when you're a kid.
It is,
and now it's like okay, he was on Kenan and Kel 4 years ago. That was like he took one big old nap and then got to be on SNL. Exactly. Like it's like
he like went to high school for like a year.
Yeah, and then just got to be on SNL. No, it is. It is really crazy. But yeah, I remember when he got on. I also felt like. Okay, he was this child star from an entire generation
ago. Yeah.
And now he's back. And now here's what he's up to as a grown up.
Yeah, it literally felt like 10 years had
gone by. At least.
So, yeah, it was just like so funny that it was him as Al Sharpton in the sketch,
who he played a lot.
Yeah. it might be why he got cast, because they needed someone to play Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Really bad.
And also, he's solid, actually.
He is. Like, I also remember people being very harsh about him.
Yeah.
I think I was even harsh about him.
Yeah.
Because I think you really do like believe the. I don't know, like the myth of the time.
Yes.
And there was like this like, oh, he was like the star of all that. He was the star of Nickelodeon. And like, he's just a kid star. What is he doing on SNL?
Right. Like you can't imagine that someone from a silly kid show would ever be able to be that caliber.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you're good enough to be on a sketch show as a child, you're probably very,
very
talented.
Good. Yeah. You have an 8. Talent that just like can't be challenged.
Yeah, like Amanda Bynes, if the industry hadn't totally fucked her up,
would
have been so qualified to be on SNL.
Absolutely.
Like she had her own sketch show, but I feel like it was the same. Like if she had stayed like in a good mental space and like whatever, like,
and had been like taken care of.
Yeah,
and, like,
but I think if she had
exposed.
Been put on SNL, I think people still would be like, oh my God, this kid. But it was like she carried an entire sketch show at like age 11.
It's nuts. Like, it's nuts the amount of talent that these kids have.
I mean, this
is why they need to be protected. God,
I know,
it.
Protect them. I mean, this goes back to like everything we talk about with Mary Kate and Ashley is like they're dismissed because they're kids, but like, I'm sorry, like, yes, sure, maybe like a regular kid who goes to school can't hack it on SNL, but like a kid who's literally been a professional comedy actor,
yes,
that's exactly who can hack it on SNL, you idiots.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it's so stupid. People are dumb. And I felt that way too. I was like, how dare he think he, after all these years, come crawling back to showbiz.
It's ridiculous. And
so
now
stupid.
What I hear from people is he's like the most pleasant person to work with on SNL.
He seems just like a very solid, chill, nice, professional, good.
Yes, always
man.
Does a good job.
Yeah.
Always just like is kind to everyone.
Yeah.
And that's I actually waited on him once.
You did?
I did.
That's so cool. In New York?
In New York, yeah.
Cool.
When I was a waitress.
At Westville.
Cool. Yeah. I actually like didn't recognize him for a while.
Really?
He looked very like understated. I think he had a lot of like clothes on, like a lot of jackets and I think a hat too. And I think he just looked very different in person. Like he's
really?
Like,
I feel like
smaller.
They always are
smaller.
They always are. Like when
yeah.
you yeah, it, yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
When
so
I saw
it,
Melissa
took
McCarthy
me
in person.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this was literally 10 years ago when I was at the Warner Brothers store. I was visiting LA.
Oh, wow.
And she was just like, I guess she was on Mike and Molly at the time. And she was like walking on set on the lot.
Yeah.
And I just was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like she was like small,
like a
actively
teeny,
small.
Like a little, like a small version of a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think like with people, like with actors, it's like, if you're quote unquote plus size or whatever, it's like you're still tiny, but your body is shaped a certain way.
Right.
Like
yeah.
that's literally it.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
That's fascinating.
So yeah, so that's a political sketch.
Yes.
And then we get into the intro, which
yes,
I
which
remember
we found
very
the monologue.
Well, featuring Fred Armisen, which is crazy because I remember when he started because he was brand new and I was like, this guy is weird. Like I was just like, because he like looks kind of funny.
Yeah.
And
he's a strange man, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just funny that he was featured because they all start out like that.
Yeah, that's
but
how
like,
you start.
Yeah.
SNL.
But then it's like he became a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then we have the monologue, which obviously we couldn't find, and then we did.
And it's linked below.
You can watch it. I'm really happy that we watched it.
It's the most that they got to do in the whole episode. Yes. So first of all, yes.
So before we get into the monologue, my girlfriend who caught the end of it has one thought on the SNL episode. See, like, get close.
It seemed very clear from like the 3.5 sketches that I saw that they did not know what to do. Like, I think they thought they were children, but they're not children.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to like write comedy for them. They just didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like they tried to figure out what would be funny with them. They did exactly one obvious joke, which is, ooh, there's a secret triplet. End of list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did a couple other things with them before you saw, but like, not really.
The top sketches I liked a lot better.
They utilize them more, and
make it like actually specific to why. Oh, Mary Kay and Ashley, you're hosting, let's do this sketch.
Yeah, I mean, I would say their monologue was actually one of the stronger sketches, but it wasn't even a sketch.
It wasn't.
Well, that's something that I also, so basically just overview what the monologue is and then we'll talk about it. Basically, like, they're like, oh, like, we're, oh, so they're like, oh, Mary Kate's like, oh, Ashley, are you excited about hosting SNL? And Ashley's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, what? And she's like, well, we're missing the prom. And Mary Kate's like, oh, right. Yeah, that's true. We're missing our prom. And so then they're talking about how they don't get to go to their prom. And then they put the prom on.
And Mary Kate's like, I have a surprise for you, Ashley. Jimmy, make you feel better. Which Jimmy, get out of here.
A lot of thoughts on just the way she said that.
I do too.
I have for 20 years.
Really?
So we will talk about it. So,
this is why we're doing this.
But so, but yeah, so then basically the cast comes on and like puts a prom on for them, yeah. Which I think is, we will dissect it, but it's just so interesting to me that they didn't actually get to do a monologue.
That was my main note. Yeah. I was like, I actually hate when SNL does this, like, especially for a guest I'm excited
about. Right.
Because they do have that sometimes where they don't know. First of all,
they don't know what to do.
I've read Amy Poehler's book. I've read Tina Fey's actually very recently.
Okay.
They historically are very stressed about the monologue. Mm. Like, the show in general doesn't know what to do with the monologue because it's like kind of a collaboration with the guest. They have a new guest every week. They don't have time to like keep up with all these guests are doing.
Right.
They don't really know who they are, what they're doing. Like Celie was saying, they don't have even time to like figure it out. But so sometimes, especially when a guest doesn't have an idea, Taylor Swift famously came in with the song,
of course,
already written.
Yeah,
so she already wrote it and they just like put it in, maybe with a couple tweaks, which
I
is
love,
incredible.
Her, if you mind.
Go back to like Taylor Swift's hosting SNL,
I mean, I'm sure
song.
You've all seen it. It's the SNL monologue song.
Yeah, you probably
it's
have.
So good. This was in 2009.
Pretty famous. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, Taylor space Swift. Taylor Swift.
Yes, 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 yes.
Look her up.
Yeah. Talk about a teen who knew how to take care of herself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was like, I don't know. She probably didn't even know that they weren't going to know what to do. Like, Mary Kay and Ashley, how were they to
know? She probably did know. Like, she probably literally was like, I don't trust these people to handle me better than I can handle myself. I'm going to do it. If they write me a monologue, it's going to be about how I'm boy crazy and a man eater and I'm 19 years old. I'm going to fucking write a song.
Yeah, I'm going to write it myself from my point of view. So, yeah, amazing. But
Celia's just sitting on the couch playing a video game, like nodding her head and like waving to us.
I love that we have a little peanut gallery again. But yeah, so SNL does do sometimes, they just like take over the monologue. So like the guest doesn't have to do anything. They just kind of like talk around
them. I think that's so, I get why they do that. But as the audience who's like even remotely savvy, it just sends the message right off the bat.
We don't trust you.
We don't trust you. Yeah. We don't know what to do with you. So we're going to take over. Because if you watch this opening monologue, the whole thing is done to them.
Yes.
Like the whole cast is like putting on their dresses. Like the different dates have different POVs. One is super horny and gross. One is whatever. And then all the different, like the different characters come in and there's the thing and the girls are like whisked away in the dress and in the car and then
they
limo.
They basically
and then
like
the prom.
Show just, you that like prom sucks most of the time.
They show
like,
you
a lot
prom
of things
sucks, but like Mary Kate and Ashley aren't doing anything. They're just like being swept away across the stage. Like what? Whoa, whoa. And then the cast gets to do their little characters.
Yeah.
And it just sends the message of like, yeah, we don't trust you. We don't value what you could. I mean, I will also say, obviously, SNL is a very stressful show because you have to put a whole show together in a week every week.
And again, they all hate the monologue. The writers don't like writing the monologue. They don't know what to do. So there is that of it. But it just sucks. We love them. We wanted better for them.
I know. And I always felt like it was sort of a cop-out whenever I'd watch the monologue and it wouldn't be a monologue. Because it's like, we're about to see a whole sketch show.
Right.
Why are we even doing a monologue? No one's making you do. I mean, I guess they have to do the SNL format. But
right,
like,
right. They could just like say hi. And yeah. Like, we're excited to be here. We have a movie coming out. And we're not going to be funny now, but we will be later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get excited. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really like a monologue.
I don't know. I mean, I wish that like it could actually, I do think it's hard, obviously, because like for them, it is a skill set to be able to like write your own monologue if they're not people who do that.
Yeah.
And then if the cast and the writers don't know how to, like, we'd be able to write a great monologue for Mary-Kate and Ashley in 2004. Like us now, because we're literal scholars on them.
Absolutely.
But I think the general SNL people aren't privy to them in the way that like isn't going to just be like punching down and stupid.
No.
So
exactly. They're just the Full House kids who like grew up and are now in a movie.
Have a countdown and are in a movie.
Yeah.
One thing that was interesting is they didn't mention the countdown at all. Except for at the
end.
Until
the very, very end.
But
yeah,
I thought
true.
When Mary-Kate, because we, as you guys know, we mentioned this in our last episode about the countdown. Mary-Kate mentions at the end of the show, remember, we'll be legal in 4 weeks.
Yes.
And I always assumed that that was like calling back, our peanut gallery's thumbs downing.
Yeah.
I always assumed that was calling back to something that was mentioned in the show. I assumed that the way that they did with Lindsay Lohan, where right. they co-opted her monologue to be about the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
I always assumed that they would have mentioned it on the show. Maybe they cut it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I feel like the whole sketch that they cut about the countdown.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or any kind of mention of it. But maybe it was just like so in the zeitgeist that we knew exactly what they
were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have two thoughts that I want to unpack about this monologue.
Please.
The first one is that I remember way back when, like a month ago, we were talking and you said you remembered the monologue of SNL. And you remembered Mary-Kate being very... Oh, it was when we were talking about Ashley being so nervous.
Yeah.
And you remember Mary-Kate being a lot more confident and Ashley being very shy.
Yes.
How did you feel about it seeing it?
I think I felt the same.
Yeah.
Well, I think I don't know that I felt like Ashley was as shy.
Yeah.
But I did very much still feel like this is what I said that I've been thinking about for 20 years. This is I did very much still feel like Mary-Kate was
that was
really,
the second thing I wanted to ask you. Okay. I wanna deeply unpack.
She was
that.
Really okay, well it's sort of the same question.
Perfect.
So let's just talk about it. So basically she really felt to me like she was putting on, she was experimenting with this sort of like schmoozy Hollywood starlet woman adult fun persona.
Yes.
and it was very clear when she said Jimmy, because she basically was like, okay, Ashley, you're sad we can't go to prom. I have a surprise for you. Jimmy.
She did. Like, she absolutely did. I like, my whole body was like, Mary-Kate.
What are you doing?
But like, not even, like, it sounded good.
Yeah, it was sounded
great. She sounded great.
Yeah, she
but it
sounded
was like,
so great.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I can tell you were really bummed out about this, so have a little surprise for you. Jimmy.
But it really came like out of nowhere.
Right.
She was completely different.
Right.
And
exactly.
It was like, it sounded like something else I had heard, but never from her.
Exactly. It was very, exactly. She was like embodying a very specific persona of like, I think maybe this person that she wants to be, this person she wants people to see her as.
Yes.
Which is this like, in the like fun, like in on the joke, fun grown up, zazity zuzi zuzuza, like like pizzazzy, schmoozy, at the bar,
absolutely.
Hanging with the guys, at the red carpet, like Jimmy.
Right, like, right. And even like in parts of this episode, especially like with the triplets episode, sketch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you can call it that.
If you can, we'll get to it. But like she says, like that, you know, how you tell you two apart. Well, like I'm the like the funky one.
Yeah.
She's more straight laced, whatever. And they always have said I'm more outgoing, whatever, whatever.
Right.
I don't know. To a certain extent, do you like play that part?
Right.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Or are you also like, I want to be this now?
Right.
And now that we are turning 18 and like having this freedom, like, who do I want to be? Yeah. She clearly wanted to keep acting.
So yeah, she did. I think she wanted to be like a Hollywood starlet.
Yeah.
But it really felt to me that it was like, okay, I am on SNL. I'm hosting SNL. Yeah. I'm going to be 18.
Yes.
And I'm a grown up. And this is the person that I'm presenting in Hollywood as right. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy.
I think she was very excited to be on SNL.
I think she was excited. Yeah. I do wonder, because like when we ambushed your friend Jessica the other day on the phone, and she was like, oh, it's so unfair that like they couldn't go to their prom.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was like, if Ashley wanted to go to the prom more and Mary Kate wanted to host SNL. I mean, yeah. that's what they showed in this, but I did feel like,
could there be truth there?
Right. And it did feel like Mary Kate was just so happy to be schmoozing and zoozing and bazzy.
And remember, we'll be legal in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
she really was like that. Being this like, she seemed like she was really doing
a showbiz gal.
It was like an opportunity to show us this showbiz gal.
Yeah.
And Ashley was sort of like, okay.
Yeah. It was kind of like the old times when Mary Kate would be more
the main one. And like, as we know from the interview in Oprah in 2008, like Ashley says she's never felt comfortable in front of a camera.
Exactly.
And she's just been giving us clues to that this whole time. So I really feel like, I do wonder like how much of this was just coming from Mary Kate and like how much they were a unit in terms of like wanting to do it versus not wanting to do it. Or if it was like Mary Kate wanted to more and Ashley wanted to go to prom more. I don't know.
Right. I mean, because I don't think I got that Ashley was nervous. Like I don't think I knew she was, because we know our gal.
Yeah.
But like I didn't read that. She didn't look like, because the way you described it is like she really closed up on SNL. And I didn't get that so much. I think she did like talk softer.
Yeah.
And she was like a little bit more inner.
I don't think it was on the whole show. I think I remember it in the monologue.
Yeah.
But
it's more in the monologue. I just feel like there was something a little bit, Ashley, more calculated about her.
Yeah.
And she was a little bit more like focused in a way.
Yeah.
Mary Kate was just like, where are we?
Jimmy.
Yeah. So yeah, there it's just really interesting.
Really interesting. Really, really, really interesting.
Because I don't think Mary Kate kept that the whole time. Right?
In this show or in this episode? She didn't keep the schmoozy. I mean, but I don't think she did, because
she was in sketches.
I mean, there's the one where she played herself. There were two where she played herself. Three, I guess. The one with the radio with Jimmy Fallon, the one with the third with the triplets.
Yeah.
And then the perfume thing, which was whatever. But yeah, I think with the radio, they were just supposed to be pissed off.
Right.
And then
it's hard to play, honestly.
Yeah. And then with the triplet, they were like
schmoozy,
disgusted by their triplet.
They had jobs to do in the sketches. Yeah. Yes. They couldn't just themselves.
Right. But I think whenever she had the opportunity to fully be herself, it was
true.
Jimmy. okay. So the other thing about the monologue, like, okay, this is why I thought it was cut, because they said something racist.
Yeah.
But everything was racist.
Yeah.
So they basically, Will Forte. So Mary Kate's date was Will Forte. Ashley's date was Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Will Forte was just like humping her like crazy.
Really weird. Like they start doing the dance. He's like, Mary Kate, I have something to tell you. And like tries to like make out with
her.
Disgusting. And she's like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Stand down. And it's like, this isn't funny.
It's not funny. This person is 17. And then
there was also something I wrote too. Like, Mary Kate's jokes were not hitting, which was also like devastating to me, because she's Jimmy.
This is her moment. The thing that's so hard about a live show like this is like, in the same way that like the writers don't know what to do with them, it's like the audience, I feel like, doesn't trust that they're funny and that they can hit their jokes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I don't know, like maybe the delivery was fine, but the audience didn't like it.
Yeah.
Did you not feel like she was delivering it well?
I don't think it was necessarily her fault in any way. I kind of feel like it was the way it was written. And I think like,
it's really hard to sell a joke you don't get. And I'm not saying that, oh, she didn't get the joke, but like if you, like someone wrote a joke and you just have to say it and you don't feel connected to it, it's not going to hit no matter how good you're doing or how good the joke is.
Do you mean the 35 joke?
I think it's like something like that. Because
he was like, so basically what the joke was is like, he's like, hey, Mary Kate, do you want to go to a black neighborhood and buy wine?
Oof.
And she was like, no, I want to stay. And he's like, you're stuck up.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're 35. Yeah. And no one laughed because I think that it's like,
it's a bad joke.
It's a bad joke. And it's also like, I think in order to deliver that joke effectively, you have to be able to convey that like everyone else is ridiculous to these teens.
Yeah.
And he's pathetic, kind of.
Yes.
And it's just like, I think it's a hard joke to deliver.
It really is.
As her in that time. And I think it's also like, it was also just like a chaotic, there's a lot happening. There was like a lot of moving pieces on the stage.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that were getting lost.
Right. And yeah. I think our girls just like struggle with projection too. So
totally.
I think that's, that's just going to be an issue.
Well, especially because like all the casts were like fighting for stage time. Like they were just like up there doing these huge characters.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Maya Rudolph comes in. She's fun.
She's fun. Amy Poehler's really fun.
Amy Poehler was like the one time I laughed.
Ashley Olsenberger. Yeah. And then she's like, move over, Full House. And
I knew I'd really win. Funny. Yeah, that was really great. Yeah. I think I cut you off
Full House?
What you were going to say about Ashley.
I don't remember.
Oh, I think because you were explaining Will Forte, Mary Kate's Will Forte, and then you said Jimmy Fallon
was with Ashley, but I didn't have anything about that.
Oh, it's okay.
He
was just like asking her for money for the limo.
Right. Which I thought was actually like that to me. Like, I think the parts of the sketch that were funny are like the pieces of it that are like the lame specifics of what it means to be a teenager going to prom.
Exactly.
As opposed to just like sexual harassment.
Yeah. Like, and like, I don't know, bad dresses because they're not rich or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because they were like, oh, is this what people wear? And they're like, yeah, not teenage millionaires or whatever.
Yeah,
teenage billionaires.
People aren't teenage
most people aren't teenage billionaires. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's a monologue.
Monologue.
I'm happy we saw it.
I'm happy we saw it too. And honestly, it was exciting seeing them, and they really did the best that they could.
Yes.
I really don't think it was Mary Kate's fault at all that her jokes weren't hitting. It was just making me sad that they weren't hitting because she was so like ready to hit.
I think she was really excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy. Okay. I'm happy that you are on the same page with me about that, because I feel like sometimes there's a delivery of a thing that you don't, because do you remember in When in Rome when
did we talk about this on our When in Rome
episode? Yeah, we did. When the like the lady, the grown-up lady in charge of them is like Charlie and you're like, no, she didn't. And I was like, yes, she did. So I was worried. I was really worried that when I said the Jimmy thing, you would be like,
well, because that was not a Mary Kate and Ashley.
Right. That was just a random lady saying a line.
When Mary Kate and Ashley speak, all eyes
are
just daggers at what's happening.
No, that's
there's
fair.
Not a minute of breath that I miss.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, okay. Fair. That's, and it's also like, this is Mary Kate and Ashley speaking as themselves. And it's like, wow, what are they trying to convey?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's also just like in getting there when Mary Kate has that look. Remember when she was like, when they're at their party and they sit down and she's like, we had a whole conversation about this. And it was like, she sits down and she says something like, oh, isn't Alex going to ask you to the dance? Yeah. And they're like, we'll see. And then she like raises her eyebrows.
Yeah.
And like everything, there was everything.
Everything is in that eyebrow raise.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did like a whole episode on that.
We did.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm here.
I really do think we could do a whole episode on Jimmy.
Yeah, we could.
Do
you want to? We have the opportunity right now to just not talk about the rest of the show.
No,
and
I
just
think,
dig
I think
in.
They'll kill us.
Okay.
Okay. So now we have the next sketch is
the paparazzi sketch.
A paparazzi sketch with Amy Poehler. This is one sketch that they've done a bunch on SNL at that time.
Really? This was a recurring sketch?
Yes.
I had no idea. Yes. I thought this was an original Mary-Kate and Ashley sketch.
No, I mean, it's kind of a good idea. And I actually think it's a really good idea for 2004 because paparazzi and celebrity
were at their zenith.
Exactly. So yeah, they did one with Jennifer Aniston. I don't remember who else they did them with. Those
do they specifically kind of look for guests who are currently under paparazzi fire?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so like with Jennifer Aniston, it was like, when are you gonna have a baby? When are you gonna have a baby? And this was like before she broke up with Brad Pitt. It was like, yeah. But yeah, so I think it's actually like a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it really was like a paparazzi time.
You can actually address the rumors.
Yeah. And show how ridiculous it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I thought this was like one of the more successful sketches.
I mean,
I did write the sketch is boring.
It's kind of boring because it's just like them, the paparazzi telling famous people to do crazy stuff.
Exactly. It's like not a very fun, heightening type of sketch.
But, and it's also just like the point is also so that the host can kind of poke fun at themselves a little bit, and that's tricky because like with Mary-Kate, it was like, Mary-Kate, you're so skinny, eat a sandwich, like,
right? Yeah.
And that's hard because we know what happened like right after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know,
people are just not responsible for, they just don't care about people's well-being.
No, it's true.
Especially back then.
Yeah, it just really makes you wonder like how much, not saying that like this sketch is what like caused the problem, because the problem was happening for Mary-Kate, like she was going through it at this moment. But it's just like, sometimes if you say something, you could will it into existence, so you do have to be careful.
Yeah, or you could will it into existence, or you could just make it worse. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I wonder
the fact that Mary-Kate says it twice.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like the second one was improv'd.
I felt that way too.
Yeah.
Because at first it was like Mary-Kate and Ashley, Mary-Kate, you're so skinny, eat a sandwich. And then as they were walking off, it was like, she's like, eat a sandwich.
Right. Yeah. It kind of felt very off the cuff. And I was wondering if there was a part of that was cathartic for them.
Yeah.
Interesting. To be on the other side and to yell it and to like, I don't know, just feel, just to be able to like show all the world how slimy that they are when they do this kind of thing.
Yeah, it felt kind of like this catharsis and like sort of getting out this buildup of like rage, kind of.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure,
because obviously that affects them. How could it not?
Yeah. And then she also had the other joke where it was like about like, I hear that they, Mary-Kate and Ashley, like work for Coke or something. What was the Coke
they
joke?
Get paid in cocaine.
They get paid in cocaine.
Yeah.
Because that was also one of the tabloids, so
right.
I wonder,
right, yeah,
if that was also like,
I mean, I do like the idea of this being catharsis versus like hurting them.
I would like to believe that. I have no idea.
Who knows? But yeah. I don't know if the intention, I think that the intention is to make fun of the media and paparazzi and people being ridiculous and invasive. I don't think the purpose is to make fun of the people.
I don't think so either.
I mean, there are definitely people in the red carpet scene who they were just making fun of, like Courtney Love.
Exactly.
Which is, okay, I'm sorry. We could do a whole episode on fucking Courtney Love, but like,
maybe we should.
The fact that like people have just like completely torn so many women down. It's insane. But like, her husband, were they married? Whatever. Her love of her life died.
Yeah.
And she had a tragic story. And they were just like, that mess.
Yeah.
Look at her mess up and stumble around. It's like, get a life. I don't know. Like,
no, I know. And they're like, were you, I think, was it Diane Sawyer again?
Probably.
Yeah. Like, asked her, like, were you high when you were pregnant?
and what?
And Courtney was like, Jesus. Like, she was very, she's like,
Diane.
And I think she had to like say, like, look, there was a couple of weeks there I didn't know I was pregnant. I can't say what happened there. And I don't
like,
know.
Anybody.
Like with anybody, that's happens.
And did
like,
you give your child heroin?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is that what you feed your child every day?
Uh-huh. And it's like the, it's funny, like in 2020 now, 2024, it feels like the only way to respond to that is like, listen to yourself.
Yeah. What are you saying to me, Diane?
Do you talk to people like this?
Yeah.
This is your job and you're, what are you doing?
But back then it was just, you had to play along.
Yeah. You had to be like, well, like, no, people are saying that.
Yeah.
But gotta be honest with you, Diane. It's not true.
Yeah, right.
Like it's just people will say what they're going to say, but I'm not one of those bad girls, Diane. Don't worry. Like, it's
right.
Just, and okay, I will say, like, obviously, like, we live in a dumpster fire, blah, 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 blah.
But I will say that, like, I do very much appreciate how far we've come in a lot of ways.
I hope
like,
so.
I do feel like exactly like you just said, now people would be like, what are you saying? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And also, like, in just watching this episode, like, there's just so many, like, mediocre men just rambling for so long.
Yeah.
And, like, so specifically, we'll go back in order, but, like, specifically, there's, like, a character monologue with Horatio Sands during
Weekend Update. Because we don't even really need to talk that much.
No, we don't need to. But, yeah, like, he just rambles for so long. And I was just like, think of all the sketches that were cut for time because he's just doing this, like,
yeah,
he's giggling with Jimmy Fallon for 15 minutes.
Yes.
And I just feel like so much of, like, and also just, like, the sexism and the racism and all of that, it just feels like so much of it, it really is this, like, pre-Me Too, like, men in power club.
Yeah.
And it really, I could feel myself being sucked back into that time from watching this episode and really feeling like it's like, well, that's just the way it is. You can't say anything.
Right. I do feel like we're a lot more empowered to say things now.
Yes.
And I love it. I do. The one thing I think that has changed maybe a little bit, though, is that instead of like this, like, really this nastiness happening, like, on news and on from reporters asking celebrities these, like, very invasive questions, mm-hmm, now it's translated into, like, social media, people on TikTok just, yeah, like, tearing people to shreds.
Right.
Which is, like, is that better? Because I'm really invested in this, like, J-Lo takedown that's happening on my TikTok.
I still am not encountering this. Like, I'm literally getting an update from you once a week about it. Yeah. And that's all.
I just think it's so, we talked about it in the podcast last time,
yes,
right? Yes. And it's just like, the more I think about it, because I feel like there was also, did I tell you about the Beyonce, the video where somebody was like saying, like, watched TikTok, or they listened to the album twice, and like, it was released on Friday, on Sunday they made a video about, like, it's not good.
Oh, wow.
About Cobard Carter. That's because she's a master. She's a genius.
She's a mastermind. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyways, this person like put a TikTok about, you know, how Beyonce's album, Cobard Carter's, isn't good. And like, she, in fairness, the internet, like, the beehive came to their defense.
Sure.
And I sent you a voice note about this because I was kept thinking about it.
You did?
Yeah. I think you were in Vermont. I think you missed it. Oh. I was like, it was actually like a ridiculous, like, I was driving to American Eagle to like try on clothes.
Oh, I definitely didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Did it expire or something?
It maybe expired. Oh. Yeah. Anyways, sorry. I was just trying to, like, because it felt like the Beehive and Swifties, mm-hmm, like, really are this really intense, I have a point here, I promise.
Then make it.
Okay. Have a very, very.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Legally Blonde.
Oh, I need to watch that movie. And just like, I've seen it. I need to watch it again.
I have a point, I promise.
Then make it.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay, so we have to be so, like, intense in our fandom to take down these people on the internet who tried to, like, do these, like, stupid videos,
yeah,
of just, like, it's just, like, not good. And, like, it honestly feels like Beyonce got lazy. Like, she, yeah, says stuff like that. And same thing with, like, these J-Lo videos. People are just kind of like, she just sucks now. Like, yeah, sit back, lady. You are over 50. We don't want to hear from you, God, anymore. Like, people literally make videos that, yeah, say this sort of stuff. And so, like, the Beehive and the Swifties, like, we have to be, people always make fun of, like, oh, you don't want to mess with the Beehive. You don't, yeah, want to mess with a Taylor Swift fan. You can't say anything bad about Taylor, yeah, Swift. You can't say anything bad about Beyonce. Yada, yada, yada. And I think it's a defense against sexism, because, yeah, we shouldn't have to fight this hard to make sure people don't just, like, say stupid shit about, yeah, these women, because they don't deserve it. They deserve respect. Even, yes, if you don't have to like their stuff, right, everyone can have their own opinions, but you have to at least, like, you can't just call somebody like Beyonce lazy.
No, right.
And like, the people are going to come to the fences and be like, we're not propagating and letting you, yeah, be successful on this video,
yeah,
to like do all this. Anyways,
I mean, I think,
yes,
the thing that's hard about that is that it's like, it does go, it, like, I think the intentions are right, what you said,
yeah,
but sometimes I do feel like I saw someone like do this Twitter thread on Taylor's album, and it was so thoughtful, but, uh-huh, it was also like, I don't think this is her best album. Also, this video, this episode is coming out like over a week after her new album came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to say, like, I listened to it once and I didn't know what I was listening to. And I've listened to it like another half a time and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
So like, I might evolve. Everyone might evolve. I,
yes,
don't know. But it is Saturday after this album came out. It literally came out yesterday.
You can't talk about music that quickly. I think you need to let it settle in.
I totally agree. And I think there's this like demand to have it like immediately. It's
or
like, I don't know
now
how I feel yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, like someone put out this like really thoughtful review and it was like, I see what she was doing. I don't think this was her best album, whatever, whatever. And people were like, oh my God, you're so brave. I can't believe you actually said that. Like, I can't, because it's like people don't feel like they're allowed to criticize or critique her music.
Right.
And it's like, you can appreciate this. She's like extremely hardworking and very talented and all of that. And like still be like, I don't like that. Like, totally. You're still allowed to not like, and I think people are afraid. Or to like a lot, there was one thing that was like, I know this might be, this might shock you to your core and it might be terrifying to admit to yourself that you don't like this, but it is okay. Like mm-hmm. you can still be a huge fan of Taylor Swift and not like this album. And like, I think that that's like hard for people to accept. Hard, like you're gonna get in trouble with her or something.
Totally. But there is this other side of the coin where I think there's some eagerness for her to have a bad album.
Yeah.
There is an eagerness.
I didn't even think Steely could hear us.
Yes. There's an eagerness for Beyonce to have a bad album. Mm-hmm. There's this eagerness for J-Lo to be not cool anymore.
Or to be 50 sit down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what we need. And that's what's still prevalent. And that's what, like, that's how sexism is still alive. Because yeah. I think there is a feeling of, well, she's, Taylor just had the biggest year of all time. Like, right. I can't stop hearing about her. She's at all my football games now. Like, yeah. God, just like have a bad album right. so like I can stop. Like, how dare you put out a 31
song album and yeah. have it be good? Like, it has to be. Yeah.
And that's like, that's a dark part of ourselves that we just need to continue to be conscientious of. Yes. That we don't like give fuel to.
I think that's very astute. I think that's really wise.
Yeah. And I think that was still alive in 2004. I think
the dark parts of ourselves in 2004 were way more out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why it's like, in some ways, it's at least we can hear what people are actually thinking.
Right. Yeah. That's so true.
It doesn't mean it's like gone now. So no. that's my tangent on the state of,
I think that's great,
sexism in media now.
I think you once again have solved it.
Thank
Basically,
you.
Basically, once an episode, Lanny solves sexism. And I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next sketch is Perfume, which we didn't talk during this, but it made me laugh because I was like, oh, this is what we do all
exactly.
the time.
That's exactly.
So basically, the Perfume was like,
this is our game.
Literally, this is our game. It was like Mary Kate and Ashley, like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Two perfumes for two different moods. And I didn't write down the actual specifics, but it was like, if you want to be like professional and sophisticated, Ashley. If you want to be fun, Mary Kate.
Like Sunday morning, Ashley. Saturday night, Mary Kate.
And it was like all this stuff. And I was like, that's our game.
Right.
But then it literally, the heightening was literally like what we do too.
Trash can, Ashley.
Like
stinky butt, Mary Kate.
And it, like literally, and I was like, okay, after this episode, we have to do this game.
Well, we have to do it for everything. I thought this was perfect.
It was so good.
This was
like literally the best sketch of the whole thing.
Yeah, I actually am like okay with all the mistakes that happened throughout because mm-hmm. this commercial parody got to exist.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I completely agree. It was absolutely perfect. They were hilarious in it.
Yes.
Because they like,
they got it.
They
were connected to right. it. It made sense.
As the things got more ridiculous, they were more like, huh? And then the wind got all weird and they were all twitchy. And like,
yes.
It was just like perfectly executed. It really hit me. It was just like, it's what we do. Yeah. I loved it.
I want to know who wrote this sketch.
Yes.
Okay. All of our listeners, please help.
Help us.
Please help us find who wrote this because I want to congratulate them. Because
on
they
a
really,
perfect.
On a perfect sketch.
Perfectly encapsulating what it is to be a Mary Kate and Ashley fan.
Yes.
And also just writing a good sketch.
Yes. Also like the media always trying to figure out which one's which. Yes. Like what's the difference between them.
Yes.
And like this is commenting on that in mm-hmm. such a fun way. It's not punching down like mm-hmm. it's
showing the ridiculousness of like trying to distinguish them.
Yeah, of like two, what are the differences? I think that was like the game line in it.
Yeah,
sorry guys, I had to do a lot of sketch.
We're improv sketch girls.
Yeah, I have the terms, so I'm just gonna say them. But like the game line sketch like was, how do you define two people who are different but also very much similar?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you yeah. can be a mountain, Ashley. You could be a desert, Mary Kate.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was great.
I loved it. I love that like I kind of felt like you and I were sort of like holding auditions or something and we were just like watching the sketches and then like mm-hmm, and writing our little notes and not saying anything to each other. So like for this one it started and we were like, huh, what's that? Oh great. And then we both just like silently wrote our little notes.
We were like an audition panel.
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, yep, this guy, I get what you're doing. excellent execution, great heightening, wonderful. I love this. And it was just really fun.
It's nice to be on that side of the table.
For once
in this life.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect. And yes, at the end of this episode, we're going to play that game, obviously.
Yeah, we are.
And in the moment, we'll know what it's about, like what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have this horrible fucking radio sketch. I don't even want to talk about it for that long.
It's like downhill from here.
This is another recurring character that Jimmy Fallon did. I feel
Jesus Christ.
Here's
this
what
was recurring.
Yes, Lanny.
God.
I feel like at this era, the recurring things that the women did were brilliant, and the recurring things that the men did were fully idiotic farts. Like,
well,
it was just...
There is the fart leg lady that Mamie did that I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe she did. That was pretty stupid. That was pretty... That was really stupid.
I do remember that character being funny in other sketches, but I also was a kid and I liked farts.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, I don't think it was good.
I don't think it was good. But anyway, so basically, Jimmy Fallon is this like obnoxious radio host. He has Mary-Kate and Ashley on, and the whole point is that like he is like saying that they're doing stuff that they're not doing.
Yeah.
And but the very first thing that really pissed me off is he basically was like, okay, New York Minute bombed. What a stinker. What a horrible movie, right? Like, and he was just saying how horrible it was.
Yeah.
And I get that the point of the sketch is that like he's making them look bad. He's like, Mary-Kate farted, like whatever. But it's like you're still kind of like telling the audience that their movie was bad.
Exactly. I hated it. It's like it's literally what I was saying before. You have to be careful what you say because you could will things into existence.
Exactly. And it felt like he was sort of... It was like at their expense.
That felt really bad.
Yeah.
Did this come out before?
This came out like a week after New York Minute came out.
Right. Yeah.
So New York Minute came out on the 7th. I think this was like the 15th or something.
Yeah. That's kind of shitty, isn't it? Because
it's really
it didn't
shitty.
Do well at the box office
I think
that weekend.
This to me feels really shitty because it felt like it was disguised as a joke.
Yeah.
But they were actually telling the audience like, we know we all think it's bad, but we're hiding this in this thing of this character who's an asshole.
Right.
My girlfriend is raising her hand.
Do you think they would ever do that to someone now when their movie bombs?
The question is,
do you think they'd ever do that to someone now when their movie bombs?
No.
I don't. I think that's a really shitty thing to do. And she's thumbs up being like, we answered correctly.
Yeah.
She wasn't opening this to discussion. She was testing to see if we would answer correctly.
Exactly.
And we did.
Good job.
So
I really don't think they would. It's a worthy while discussion, though. It's a worthy while discussion. Thank you.
No, because it's like a very shitty thing.
It is.
And they wouldn't do it now because it was cruel then. And they pretended
also,
that it wasn't.
It's shooting themselves in the foot, though, too. Because the reason why they get the big celebrities that they get is because they're trying to promote something.
Right.
So... like throwing the thing that they're
sorry
there.
I'm laughing because of her, not because of you. You're saying something very wise. Yeah. And Julie's like,
we have a great peanut gallery who's just like kind of telling us when they agree with a little thumbs up. But anyways, it kind of in the same way that this radio station like is it's a bad idea for this radio station to do this because you're not going to get celebrity guests if you constantly roast what they're doing.
Right.
But like it's the same thing. They're disguising how they actually feel in the sketch.
Yes.
So even if it is within the joke of the sketch, it's still not a cool thing to do as SNL.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They wouldn't. I really don't think they would do this. I don't think they would really even do this that much then. I think there was like an opportunity they felt they could do it because they were Mary-Kate and Ashley.
I think because they were Mary-Kate and Ashley, they were kids. They're not taken totally seriously. And I think it's a way for them as SNL to save face and try to make us see that they have good taste and that we should still respect their opinion. And it's like, yes, of course we have these silly twins on the show, but we know that their movie wasn't good. We know that they're not serious. So like, it's fine. Like, don't worry. Like, we don't have bad taste.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to like, they're protecting themselves.
Exactly.
Because they are just little girls. They're little silly girls who shouldn't even be hosting the show, but they're famous.
Right.
They have a movie
coming out.
We are, but we're going to comment on it. So, you know, we know.
And that's just like so shitty, especially given the fact that like they did like not do their prom for this. And then they're just like
getting made
fun of
to their face too. Yeah.
I just think that's really, really shitty.
I hate it. Cause also here's the other thing. As a joke writer, you could do better.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something different of like, you know, if this sketch was with like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And he was coming in to like talk about, I don't know. What was that one with the bear?
The Revenant.
Yeah.
Celia and I talk about it like once a day.
It's like a very culturally important movie.
Yeah.
But like, if he was coming on in this sketch and he was like, so Leonardo DiCaprio, you and this like romp with a bear, right. Like you guys just like a little slapdash all day, like yeah. A funny movie,
right?
Like that is something to be like, no,
it's actually a serious movie,
yeah,
right?
Like it's different than that. Like that's more nuanced, right? And there's more things you can play with there,
right? Like there's stuff in New York Minute that they could poke fun of yes. Like the part of like, oh, you guys did a porno, whatever, and they're like, no, that's just how you see it,
yeah,
like, you
know, exactly. What I
mean, like something like that. It's like, you're the one, like, don't punch down, like have him be, that's the thing, that's why I feel like Jimmy Fallon is kind of mean-spirited, like it's like mm-hmm. have this character be the butt of the joke, not the people, not exactly. The real people,
exactly.
And there's so, and it's such an idiot character, there's so much you can do to make him be the butt of the joke, but it actually just reads as him being genuinely mean to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he goes on, because then they kind of move on from that, talking about Mary Kay and Ashley at all, and then he just has a full-on conversation,
full-on racist type five of racism.
Yeah, he does like three different race voices, different voices and three different races than his own.
Yeah.
And he talks to himself in them.
Right. And it's because the point is that it's a stupid radio show. He's saying all this stuff that isn't really there. He's saying Mary-Kate farted. He's saying he has all these other people on the show and it's just him being these characters.
Right, right.
And the point is a show, Jimmy Fallon has talent, whatever. But it's literally like, it's like an Arab guy named Sanji.
Mm-hmm.
A black guy named Tyrone Washington.
Yep.
And then who's the other one?
Well, I think he just made... Oh, wait. The joke about Chinese people was later. So.
That was later.
That was silly. It's crazy.
But like, we won't... I wrote down what he said because I was like... Lanny and I were just like, what? 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 But I'm not going to repeat it.
No,
it's just
don't.
Like very... Like everything you can say to be as a... It's just like the obvious... racist xenophobic jokes.
Yes,
that's it. Like it's like it's just the obvious.
Oh, there was a joke about bombing,
right?
And
joke
stuff
about
like that.
Bombing. Yeah. Joke about, it's just like all of that. It's just very just the butt of the joke. Like the punchline is just the racist thing. And there's no twist on it. There's no nuance. There's no pointing the finger at the other person telling the joke. It's just. The laugh is the racism.
Yes, exactly. There's no higher meaning to it. It's a badly written sketch.
Well, it is a badly written sketch because the worst part, I mean, not the worst part, but like in terms of
well,
writing.
Well, the part that made us both like, what? Okay. This is where I was like, okay, it's bad. Is when,
so basically, like, you can say
okay,
it.
This is just sketch 101. Like, if someone doesn't want to be there, then they won't be there.
Right.
They won't stay. So there's a point where Mary Kay Ashley is like, okay, we're leaving because this is awful. And he's like, no, stay, just two more minutes.
And they
just
like,
fine. Okay.
And Lenny is like, why? Bad sketch.
Exactly. Like, that's like, everything else was just like, okay, you guys don't really get joke writing. This is just like, okay, you don't get the whole structure.
You don't know how to structure.
Form.
And then I'm also just sort of like, SNL was like the dream, like the ultimate goal of comedy writing, especially at that time. And it's like, how do you
still now? It's like still the only.
Sorry, but like, how do you not know how to write a basic sketch? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I don't know. It's frustrating. Jimmy has always frustrated me. And we're not here to take down Jimmy Fallon, but like,
this was 20 years ago. He was 28.
Yes. And he was finishing his run at SNL at 28.
I can't even fathom that.
No. No.
Yeah. So.
So it's just.
He was like a 28-year-old straight white man in 2004.
Yes.
And I'm not excusing it. It just was like. It was
he
very.
He is who he's going to be.
Yeah. But yeah. Bad sketch.
Okay. So the next one is the Swan.
Which is. What a time.
I know.
It is so crazy that this was a real show.
It is. I actually really appreciate Seth Meyers calling that out.
Yeah.
Like, way late in the sketch. Should have been
way
too earlier.
Late. Yeah.
But he is like, he plays a doctor and he only has one line. And it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
This is a terrible show. Why does this show exist?
Yeah. And Meyer Duff's like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Which is also interesting. Do you remember The Swan? Did you watch it?
Yeah.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
I didn't watch it. I think I watched the first one and I was like, the first episode, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, it's basically a reality show where women get plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And then they do like a beauty pageant.
It's basically to turn an ugly duckling into a swan.
And then, but then they compete. And the competition is just like, who did a better job of plastic surgery?
Right.
These people are just like, at the whim, they're not like active agents. They're not doing anything. They just have stuff done to them.
They do and sign people, up for the show. They're like, well, they consent to it.
Of course, they don't just like rip them out of bed in the middle of the night and do plastic surgery. But it's like the judging of it all is like, and then they feel bad that they don't win. But it's like, you did that, Dr. Fuckface.
Can you imagine like, that if you've been like told that you were ugly your entire life and then you sign up for a show where they'll try to make you beautiful again and then you lose?
And then you lose and like, no, you didn't do it. You're still ugly. They botched you. Okay, bye. Yeah. Like, you guys, we always talk about how this is the like most horrible time in the world.
Yeah.
And this show is just the absolute epitome of that.
Exactly. I feel like they even knew it at the time. I feel like all the coverage of this show was like, can you believe the show exists? Mm. But that didn't stop it from existing.
No, it's true. It's not like people were like, oh, that show's good. Yeah. Like everyone thought, like just the existence of it was like, ridiculous. That's just so messed up.
Absolutely. So it's really interesting that they chose to do this with Mary-Kate and Ashley on, because I was kind of like, oh, interesting. How are you going to like play with twins with this concept? And they don't really. It's like Ashley is.
It is Ashley, isn't it?
What?
Because I was like, is it Ashley? Don't kill me.
Okay. So you tell me all the time that you do. You know.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay.
One of the twins was in it. It was one of the twins and Amy Poehler. Those are the ones who are being made over.
Yes.
They obviously, the twin had like a crazy disguise, prosthetics, whatever. Yes. My gut thought was, this is Ashley. Uh-huh. But I know that Mary-Kate wants to be doing this more and was more excited about this, Jimmy, and just like wants to be the actor. So I just assumed like when they had the opportunity for one of them to be more in a sketch, it would be Mary-Kate.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't think Ashley would do a character like this. So I was... My gut was like, this is Ashley, but knowing her, I didn't think she would do this character.
Right.
And I was wrong.
But I actually think, first of all, Mary-Kate had a more fun thing to do in this sketch. And that's fair. I also think that it makes sense because Ashley would be more like, I want to put on a disguise. Mary-Kate would be less, I would want to put on a disguise.
That's fair. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So it was Ashley, and she was basically this like, she's like, I'm an ugly duckling, and she was doing this little character, and I thought she did great.
She did great. It was I think they did the best. Like, I was very proud of them in this one.
Yeah.
And I think they did so much, and it's just so weird that basically how they use the twins is, so Ashley has like all these prosthetics on, and then she comes out and she's beautiful, and they also like give her big boobs.
Yeah,
so there's that.
17 years old.
I mean, yeah, it's whatever. But then she comes out, and then there's a fake mirror, and Mary-Kate is her reflection in the exact same like fake boobs like outfit.
Yeah,
and I will say, and to your credit, when Ashley emerged as like the beautiful version,
you thought it was Mary-Kate.
I thought it was
Mary-Kate. There you go.
Because
she had a darker wig.
She had a darker wig. Her hair is parted to the side. Every time they part their hair differently, they look like the other one. Yes. I don't know what to say.
So I'm not the only one who sometimes,
yes,
maybe 1% of the time, doesn't know who's who. I know the difference, Lanny.
I know. But you're not. Like,
you're not proving that to me. Yeah. You're not making that clear. You're keeping that to yourself.
You make so many mistakes that it's hard to believe you
at this point. But anyway, so they're the mirror, and it's just like such good physical comedy.
It really is.
And they're having such silly
fun.
You
can't see Ashley's face the whole time, which is why I think this was like the funner thing.
That's fair.
Part of the sketch was Mary-Kate was the reflection.
Yeah.
You just see the back of Ashley's head.
Yeah.
And like they have to like basically just mirror each other. And I don't even know, because there's a one point when they turn and Mary-Kate turns the wrong direction as the mirror, and it almost felt like a flub.
It did.
But
that's
so
what made it so funny.
Perfectly. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Perfect timing.
So I just wonder, if I ever saw Mary-Kate and Ashley, my top question today would be, Mary-Kate, did you improv that or did you plan to do it?
Yeah.
Because either way, I actually would be more impressed if it was planned.
Because it came off as so genuine.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
But also, like, if it was improv, then, like, brilliant, great.
Brilliant.
You're wonderful. You can't answer this wrong.
You can't be. You're perfect.
So, yeah, the mirror bit is great.
It's very funny. The thing to me like, I know it makes me feel a little bit better that this is like a recurring character for Amy, because it's literally like Ashley's character is just like hideous.
Yeah.
And Amy's is literally just her, but without a leg. Yeah. And it's like, I have hardcore learning disabilities in one leg. And I was like, okay, so you literally are just disabled, kind of. And that like, that feels awful. Like, but it's also like, okay, this was the fucking time.
Exactly. Like, we wonder why everyone was so underdiagnosed with like ADHD at that time.
Like, because it's a joke. It's like, you should be ashamed. Like, you should be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. And like, and here we are being like, you're like, mom, parents not even wanting to like get a diagnosis because it like that will admit that you're broken. It's
right.
Like, there's a reason they thought
right.
that.
It's not like, right. It's not a coincidence that both of our parents in very different parts of the country both weirdly had this idea that it was like, it was entirely the culture. It was like really shameful, really stigmatized. Something's wrong with you. You mm-hmm. are the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, like seeing the like leg thing and like just the ableism is really upsetting, because like mm-hmm. I just think a lot about that now. I just am thinking a lot about that now with like a lot of accessible spaces with air. But we don't need to get into that.
It's true.
Yeah. And it's just like we grew up in a culture that like that is you punch down. Mm-hmm. But literally she just is missing a leg. Like, well, why is that the joke?
I also feel like this was a really weird... Celia's
like coming in and out. Celia's coming in and out. And she just heard that part. She didn't hear the
beginning.
Do
you remember the Amy Poehler character in SNL where she had one leg and she farted a lot? Okay. That was just one of her characters. And...
yeah.
I do feel like in other sketches it made more sense. I need to find like a... But, it just was a weird one
for her.
But
this one
to be
literally...
in.
Silly. This one was a swan and Ashley's character was like just like physically disgusting. And but Amy is literally just looked like herself.
Like
she was
a pretty
like,
Amy
I got hardcore learning disabilities in one leg. And that was it. And I was like that...
You know, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. She says, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Yeah. But this also, like, this sketch really made it clear to me that they really love fart jokes.
Truly.
Like, in the, I mean, sometimes fart jokes are hilarious. Like, it's kind of fun. Also, yeah. Amy Poehler is so funny. Yeah. So it's like, even in this, like, ridiculous character, like, her timing is so good that it's like, when she jumps and farts, it's a little bit funny.
Well, sure.
Because she is good.
I think this character, I will find a sketch with this character by the end of today, because okay. I remember this character because I remember it being funny, and it was never just about her like conditions. Mm-hmm. It was about how she would like come into a room and just like fuck things up because she had way too much confidence.
Right.
And
she was like really sexual and really like horny.
Yeah,
and, like,
right. Yeah. And she like literally farted all the time. And so she just like burst in, like fucked everything up and then like left. And that kind of character trait is funny.
Yes. And she's just really funny at that character.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So I think I want to see what else that character
right.
does.
It didn't make sense in this sketch for her to be in it.
Right.
She's not able to play that game.
Yeah.
They're just basically like poking fun at the thing that you shouldn't be poking fun
exactly.
at with this character.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's sort of like, I kind of am like, okay, well, like, is it a commentary? Because it's like, she literally looks gorgeous.
Yes.
So is it like, wow, if you have learning disabilities in one leg, we're equating that to like having a crazy messed up face,
which
but
is why I
but
did,
they're not really doing
but they
that.
Did have a joke of like a complete attitude adjustment,
right?
Like there was like an idea that I think that they tried to go for that they didn't hit.
Yes.
That she needed a complete like personality makeover,
right?
But that character does need
that, but they don't do that. And
they
also said like a full face, like a full head replacement.
Exactly.
And they didn't do that either, and she just was exactly the same.
Yeah.
So
the sketch like on a whole didn't work, but like Mary Kay and Ashley were really good in it.
They were very fun and goofy.
And it's like, also, I just need to say this too, that Amy Poehler used a real mirror.
Right.
And Mary Kay and Ashley were in a fake mirror.
Right.
So there was just, there's so many things you could have done with the swan, with having Mary Kay and Ashley having twins in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of those directions wouldn't have been good. And I'm glad that they didn't like go in any bad direction with like the two of them making fun of how they look or whatever.
Right.
But it's just so funny that they just use them as a mirror.
Yeah.
That they didn't need to do that because the mirror was a real mirror.
Right. It was a real mirror. I also think if they're going to do that, it would have been like,
make that the game. Sketch.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if you're going to do that, you can't have a real mirror and not explain it. Like right. You literally, the mirror needs to be another person. It needs to be Tina Fey.
Exactly.
Like doing this ridiculous Amy Poehler character.
That would have been fun to
that
see.
That would have been really funny.
Yeah. See how they see themselves or whatever. I don't
right.
know.
Right. You can't just do not a mirror and then a mirror. Like that's not going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was messy.
Very
it kind of does fall apart at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have weekend update. We're not gonna go through
Jimmy
every
and Ashley
joke.
Weren't in it at
they
all.
Weren't in it. But Jimmy, yeah, it punches down a whole bit, a whole lot.
So
I forgot
much.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of our great state of California.
Me too.
The worst part of this, obviously, was the blatant raging homophobia.
Oh my God. There's a whole bit. Okay, usually weekend update when you have like a movie review or something, like a new cast member comes on.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know, maybe
well,
they
I don't
did
know.
It
they didn't do
then.
It as much back. I think now weekend update has a lot more guests. I think yeah. back then it was like basically
mostly
the hosts and then Horatio Sands would come in and just bulldoze the whole thing and just like.
It was always Horatio. Horatio Sands.
I feel like he always came on and was like a half character, like kind of giggling and just rambling for 20 minutes and
that's
making
awful.
Us lose time.
That's awful. But so for this one, Jimmy Fallon was doing a movie review.
Yeah, he was doing a movie review of
did
Troy.
I say Fallon?
You did.
Yeah.
Fallon, Fallon.
I saw it in your face.
You did.
I did.
I tried to hide
and
it.
I felt it a little bit. And
Jimmy
I was like,
Fallon.
Did I do it really bad? Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't do it bad. You just did it, Lanny.
I just did it how I do it.
You just tacked the way
well,
you tacked.
That's kidding.
There's going to be a backpack sketch.
There is going to be a backpack sketch. I'm happy about that one.
So Jimmy Fallon is reviewing Troy, and basically he's explaining it, and he very quickly devolves into this, like, extremely exaggerated, offensive gay voice.
Yes,
like,
when he starts talking about Brad Pitt.
When he starts talking about Brad Pitt. It's high, it's lispy, it's, like, it's just, like, as offensive as it gets.
Yes, exactly. It's, like... So someone like a character like Stefan,
yes.
right? That I mean, I'm not going to like speak for the community at large, but I feel like that isn't offensive because
yeah.
it's a whole character. He's not making fun of like the voice. He's like,
right.
it is like, that is who he is. And
right.
it's not about that at
right.
all.
Exactly.
This is just about
this
that.
This is about that. And the purpose of this is that it's not okay to be gay. Like, literally the purpose of this is that it's not okay to be gay. Because what happens yeah. is he's doing the review, he gets into gay voice, Tina Fey says, Jimmy, TV voice. Which implies, yeah, Celia's horrified, which implies, like, first of all, that this is his real voice, but he needs to sound straight on TV, which might be okay, but he's not gay. This is not his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically she's like having him pull it together. She's like, pull it together. Come on, Jimmy, you can't do that. Like, we're on TV. You can't be gay. Were there any women in the movie? Talk about the women. And then she smacks him for being gay. And she literally the whole thing is like, Jimmy, don't you understand the rules? Like, you can't be gay.
Yeah.
Stop being gay. Be straight. Talk about women. And it's just like, oh,
that's the
God.
Whole point of this guy.
Yes.
It's crazy. Cause like, look.
It's devastating.
Tina Fey, of all people, like, I read, as I just said, her memoir. She like, I don't know. She has a ton of gay friends. She was grew up in theater. Like,
yes, she did. But it was also 2004.
Exactly.
And she straight washed Janice, a very gay character.
So true.
Like,
so it, true. It's like,
it was
so
just a time when it was literally like, so it was just, I'm so grateful that we've come so far, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Just that it was just not even questioned that showing your gayness accidentally is like, what are you doing? Don't you remember the rules?
Mm-hmm.
You're letting yourself slip. It's like you have this like facade and you're letting it fall away by mistake. And it's like, obviously you're not allowed to do that. What are you doing? Fall
Absolutely.
In line, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
And I think that's just what is so like the fact that like it's Tina Fey and I know that like she like went to theater camp and all of this stuff. Like someone
yeah.
like her who should know more than anyone else
yeah.
still would do like these jokes. Like it's crazy that mm-hmm. the culture was just that strong.
Yes.
That even her knowing like, no, that's not how I feel.
Right.
Would be like, but this'll be funny.
It'll
on TV.
Be funny because this is just the world. Like this is just the framework for jokes. Like
yeah.
this is just the society. This is just normal. Like
yeah.
It, yeah.
It's just crazy how strong
it
that was.
It really is. It's just bizarre going back and watching it. Really.
I will say I was just watching Get on Your Knees last night, Jacqueline Novak's Netflix special.
I saw that live.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, maybe I remember that.
Maybe
it was at the Largo. It was before you moved here, I think.
Oh, I saw it in New York. Mm. Also, like years ago. Okay. So it was
like 2 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, what I saw on Netflix was very different from what I saw. I saw it like at the Cherry Lane.
Got it.
But it's very good. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. But she has a whole part where she talks about her boyfriend's dad getting on her case over saying like a lot. Uh-huh. It's not the same thing. It's not homophobia, but there is still like the thing about like our voices.
Yes. And, oh, I mean, of course.
Yeah. What she said was just very therapeutic for me to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I think for the both of us. And I just think this is like the next frontier in homophobia and sexism. It's just like, we need to deal with how we keep talking about voices.
Yes.
And our hatred of the feminine voice.
Yes.
Because there is something, there's something sexist in this homophobia. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes. Because he's doing a feminine voice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think that there was a whole movement in like the 2010s where everyone was like really aware of like the ways that women talked that like weren't okay. Like it was like the vocal fry, the like, the up talk.
People say that in our videos still now too.
Yeah. Literally, they're like, I couldn't get through the vocal fry. And people always come to our defense on TikTok.
I love you guys.
You guys are the best. But yes, but it's literally like, and saying just, like, I feel like there was a whole movement of like, lean in, don't say just, don't talk like you need to talk more like men. You need to be taken seriously and not have the vocal fry. And I think people need to get that out of their system before they're like, wait.
Yeah.
It's sexist to critique the way women talk, actually. Yes. Why do you think that speaking that way deserves less respect or that it's less serious?
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Because this is how I talk. It's probably I talk this way because I'm from our society. I think if I grew up in the 70s, I'd have a very different voice because that's how culture works.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's like...
My therapist told me this really interesting thing that I keep thinking about.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of about, I was unpacking an argument I was having with my husband. And I'm not going to end that here. It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
But at the end.
I keep thinking Celia can't hear us. I know, and then she's just like,
she's wearing headphones.
Yeah.
But like I explained it and then she was like, okay, honestly, there's a lot going on, but like the bottom line here is it's just textbook the difference between the way men and women process.
Yeah.
It's not all men all the time, all women all the time. This is just like a generality that women are external processors and men are internal processors.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's very, very interesting. I keep thinking about this. And so women a lot of times have to talk things out to understand how they think and how they feel about it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times do that, all that thinking internally.
Yeah.
And so by the time they're talking about something, they're ready to problem solve.
Yeah.
And they are ready to like explain how they feel about something. Whereas women are like, I am talking this out so I can figure out how I feel. And so a lot of times men and women have these arguments where the man in the argument will, or even in the conversation, will like start having solutions.
Yes.
And the woman will be like, I don't need a solution right now.
Right. I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to process it.
Yes.
And by you telling me how to fix it actually makes me feel like you're not listening to me and you're not validating my process. Like you're skipping forward so many steps.
Exactly. And you just like coming in here, you're disrupting my process.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I can't figure out how I feel.
But they actually think that they're helping.
Yeah. Because when they would go to a friend, like another man friend, then they would be like, already talking about the things that they both have thought about.
Right.
And look, this is again very general.
Mars, women are from Venus.
General. I know I do a lot of internal processing. I know Nick does a lot of external processing.
I'm just constantly processing everywhere. I'm processing inside, I'm processing outside. Absolutely. I'm processing writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is just like there's a tendency that women tend to externally process more.
Yeah.
And I think words like just help us kind of help us figure out what we're thinking and what we're saying.
Yeah.
And to just say you have to take that out of your language completely is unfair, because then I have to like talk how I'm talking as if I already know how I feel.
Yeah. And that's like not what I'm able to actually process what you need to process. And you're actually hindering your like process.
Yeah, that's what we're doing in this podcast. We're trying to process
we literally watch the thing, we jot notes down,
yeah,
and then we talk about it, and then we figure out really how we feel.
Right.
That's why I have to write every day, because I have to like figure it out. But it's interesting because it's like some people are external processors, some people are internal processors, but some people literally don't have an internal monologue. Yeah. Whereas I have a very active internal monologue, and some people just like need to like say their thoughts.
Yeah.
Literally, like, that's a sign, that's a hotel, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, for me, a lot of it's in my head. Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, yes, maybe women are more external processors, men are, but I also think women internalize and men externalize. Because I feel like women, like, men kind of need to, like, say and bold and whatever and sort of like out there, like the blame is out there, the like whatever, and women internalize, women like take things personally. The generalizations right now are absolutely wild.
They are running rampant, and we are just destroying. We are being very irresponsible.
Yes, we are. So let's stop talking
but
about
I just,
that.
I just think but, it's
but I also think it's like it's men and women, but it's also like I know Celia, I'm not going to say too much, but like I feel like we do like sometimes you want to problem solve. I want to talk through stuff. Yeah. Can I just say the I miss you thing or no?
What?
The I miss you thing.
I don't know what that is.
She's already forgotten. Like when we're apart and I say I miss you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So like, so we had to talk about this the other day. Cause it's like when we're apart, like I was here for like a week or I was away. We were away from each other for like a week and she was home in Vermont and I was just like, I miss you. And she was just like, I miss you too, but I mean, I'm here with my family. You're home. We're going to see each other soon. It's going to be okay. And I was like, I know, but like, I miss you. And it made me feel really like, not invalidated, but then we had to talk about it. And she realized that she was just sort of trying to like solve a problem and like cheer me up.
Right. Like, whereas, don't miss me.
Right. Whereas I was like, it's nice. Yeah, I was like, it's nice that we miss each other. I don't want to fix it. I just want to express that I love you and I like when you're around and I feel your presence not here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I miss you. And for her, it's like, oh, pish posh.
Yeah. It's really but that's very
like,
funny.
Oh, pish posh. Like, we're going to see each other soon. I haven't left. We're still together. Yeah. Don't
that's
be silly.
Very funny.
It's yeah.
I love that. I love that. It's funny that this is all like the conversation prompted from Jimmy Fallon's like
homophobic
jokes.
Yeah.
But it is just like, it's just so, we have to be okay with how everyone thinks and talks.
Yes.
And people think of talk in different ways, and it's all TV appropriate.
Yeah. And it's sort of what we were talking about offline at the beginning. It's sort of like when we have a thought about someone and we assume something, but they don't know. And it's like a lot of the time we get offended or hurt when someone doesn't communicate the way that we do or that they don't know what we need.
Yeah.
But it's like they actually are in a totally different framework. Like for me, I felt like when I say I miss you and she would try to solve the problem, I was like, oh, I guess you don't miss me.
Yeah, yeah.
But for her, she was trying to cheer me up.
Right.
And when I explained to her how I felt, she was like, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
She loves me, she says.
Oh, this is beautiful.
And so it's like, you know, you just have to communicate because there's a lot of like, if I were just sort of like, well, I love her, but she doesn't miss me. And that's just part of the relationship. And I got to go on and just be okay. And she doesn't remember me. Like, it's like that. It's like that would be really sad. But then we talk about it and we get it. And it's like, so just everyone talk about it.
Just talk about it. This is our tangent to help everyone have healthier relationships.
And boyfriends and sporty girlfriends, like, don't try to solve. Don't try to solve it. Sometimes we just need
sometimes it's okay. We just need to be clear from the beginning of the conversation. Do we want a solution
or do we want a process? Yeah.
That'll really solve a lot of problems.
Okay, so the next sketch is the backpack. Oh, the first I just want to say Jimmy at the very end of this, he's like, oh, by the way, this is my last show, so bye. And I was just like, that is so unceremonious.
It was so minimalist.
Yeah, so nuts. Minimalist.
Yes.
So Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo actually probably loved it. I'm like, oh my God.
So the row, quite wow. Luxury.
They were probably like, I think I want to make an entire
fashion line off of that.
What you just did was so Mary Kay.
Yes.
I want to make a fashion line off of that.
Okay. Anyway, so now we have the biak-piak.
Yes. Okay. So this is Horatio Sanz's like only sketch. Other than like the really boring.
I feel like he always was just sort of like half doing a character and giggling.
Yeah.
That's what he always did.
That was just like kind of the era for that. The men were just like giggling and the women were like really
doing the best fucking character work
Maya
in history.
Maya Rudolph is a genius.
Literally. So this sketch is basically everyone just doing an homage to Lanny and her accent.
them.
Yes, yeah, so the whole sketch is just that like Midwestern people say "biak biak
biak biak,"
or the way they say the "a," that yeah. "a" is like a this, no one could get it except for Maya Rudolph.
Well, that's what pissed me off, because the sketch opened with Horatio Sanz like half-assing this
talking
accent
for a while,
so it wasn't even totally clear what the thing was, like what it was.
Yeah, there was just like a gregarious backpack salesman.
He's like the backpack. Even I'm doing it more now. It was like.
He's like, backpack.
And then, he just kind of like was smiling the whole time.
And then
backpacks.
Maya came on and fucking killed it. And she was like, welcome to the backpack shaft.
Because it was a word sketch.
And it was literally, right, it was about the delivery. And I was just like, I'm sorry. She is literally setting the stage for what the sketch is.
Yeah.
Why?
And she's
is
like,
she not opening the sketch?
This is why 2 pages in. What are we doing?
The supporting character, because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she is literally fucking killing this character and literally coming on to be like, I know you're confused by what he's doing. Here's what we are trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what. And why?
Right. Why? I don't know. Because, yeah, it was a kind of a stupid sketch. But when you just really see, like, because they just use that vowel sound over and over again. Fleetwood Mac. Backpack.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac.
Woody and Gack.
Bernie Mac.
And then Jimmy Fallon came on and also just didn't get it.
Right.
Like, he also just sort of was like, backpack.
Yeah. I was like, okay, it's your last show. Just get out of here.
But then Mary-Kate and Ashley came on, and mm-hmm. we both were like, oh, I'm so proud of them.
They came in as two little chickens.
Yeah.
And they were like the nieces and nephews, like,
the nieces.
They were the nieces.
The nieces and nephews.
Yeah, they're all the nieces and nephews of the world. They were all of them together as nieces. They were just wearing chicken suits and, like, helping.
Yeah.
I guess it was a commercial.
It was a commercial for the Backpack Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
A long commercial.
So they have like kind of a sing-songy type of little thing.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Great. They did the act. They did better than the boys.
So much better.
So much better.
And they looked like they were having fun. Like, it was kind of just cute to see them in a chicken outfit.
Yeah.
And just kind of like.
It was adorable.
It was adorable.
But I'm sorry. Like, this is literally like the top sketch show on earth. And like, if you can't do a basic Backpack voice, like, why are you. Like, that's a basic.
You'd be surprised how many people do a terrible job at it.
I don't know. I think it's easy.
Yeah. Well, you're really good at accents.
I know.
So don't.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, I'm really good at accents, but the person on SNL should also be good at accents.
Sure, but not everybody is. So
well, then don't cast him in the sketch.
Well, you can't just. Well, oh yeah, yeah. You're, I agree
you
with
know?
That. I agree with that. But I just don't. I just want to push back on the notion that it's an easy accent. Okay.
I know, but
because
it
that's not
okay. I live my whole. I thought it was basic. Sorry.
Now I've lived my whole life with people doing this voice and thinking they're doing a great job. And my God, the people who don't.
What do they do? How do they do it bad?
They just, I don't know. They think
like, I'm from Minnesota.
I'm from Minnesota. I mean, we saw a whole sketch.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is the people on the sketch should be the best.
They should have held auditions for this sketch.
They should have.
Anyway, pretty much all to say about that one. We're just very proud of them.
And then really proud of them. After that is Access Hollywood. This was a really bad sketch.
Yeah, it's just basically Fred Armisen is the third Olsen triplet and as Betty Faye Olsen.
Yeah, and they're basically like, oh, like, he's like, why did you guys cut me out of New York Minute again? It always happens. And they're like, sorry, you're the big ugly one.
Exactly. It's like they weren't saying that for a while.
They and then just they like, literally said it.
They cut to them doing scenes from the movie that also were, it was just so confusing. I was like, I don't feel like anyone who wrote this like thought about it at all.
Because no.
He was just wearing the same clothes as Ashley.
Right.
And so it wasn't like a third character.
Right.
It was like, this would make no sense. That there's two of the same character in this movie.
Right.
And they were always doing like super sexy stuff.
Right. So basically like every single, they did two scenes.
Yeah.
And they were both like accidentally sexy. Like one, Ashley gets her skirt caught on the bike and it comes off.
Yeah.
And then the other one, like they get covered in water and like, oh, we're so wet.
T-shirt is all wet.
Yeah. And then the other twin was like, oh, look at me. And was like gross about it.
Yeah.
But it's also, and then they're all like, what? And it's like, what are you trying to do? Because this was allegedly a scripted scene in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're making it seem like this character came on and bulldozed the scene.
Right, yeah.
But this was supposed to be a scene that was written.
Right.
So why are you acting like this?
That's what's so frustrating me. I feel like they just didn't even think about it while
no,
they were writing
it. Was, yeah, I don't think that. And it also bugged me that like every scene in the New York Minute was like them being hot by mistake, like obliviously sexy.
Right.
And then he was... Or she, I guess, was being like overtly wrong with that.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, you're supposed to be like innocent and not know that you're covered in water and sexy.
Right.
Don't you get it? Like, don't you get the unspoken rules of being hot and like you don't know you're hot? Like, it's just like, it was, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all.
And,
then they like say it in like on the nose, like at the end, that like Mary Kate says, like, well, I'm sorry that we cut you out. They just told us to like cut out the hot, the big ugly one. And then he's like, how do they even know which one? Right, guys? Right?
It's devastating.
It is really devastating. It's sad. I don't like it either.
I don't think we need to say more about it.
Nope. So the last sketch was the Memorial Day.
This was also just like nothing.
What was the sketch?
I do remember as a kid watching SNL, and it was very frustrating because it felt like, I mean, they put all the better stuff up top, and then by the evening it was like mostly commercials. They'd do one sketch and then like 100 million commercials, and right. then each sketch would be really bad and I'd be so sleepy.
Yeah. I think that's the idea. They think
it's like, oh, you're falling asleep.
A lot of people like turn it off after Weekend Update because it's too late.
Yeah.
But that's also why I tend to like the back half of SNL,
right?
Because it's usually the weird stuff,
yeah,
the stuff that is less paint by the numbers, and right, is like they're and trying something.
Sometimes that's successful, but like,
exactly, and by nature there's going to be some fails, but
right,
geez.
So basically the premise of this is like it's a family barbecue that got rained out. Mm-hmm. They're in the basement and it's just like a weird family being caught on camcorder,
right? It's like the dad is just like videotaping his family in the basement being
and
dad.
They're just being like dumb characters, and it's I don't even know what to say. It's like stupid. I mean, Mary-Kate and Ashley are supposed to be like teenage sisters who are like, dad, I have cramps. Yeah. Like, my cramps are so bad. We're on the same cycle. We get our periods. We're talking about it on camera. Cramps, cramps, cramps. And I just, that to me pissed me off because I was just like, this is just very clearly an example of what we were saying of like people didn't know what to write for them.
Right.
Because it was like, okay, teenage girls, what do teenage girls deal with? Cramps.
Yeah.
Periods. Okay. And it's like, no teenage girl I know would like be on camera with their dad filming and say, I have cramps.
Right. No, they wouldn't. Yeah. Unless they're a weird or a different kind of family.
But it's just like, this was supposed to be like, oh, there go the teenage girls, yeah, with their cramps.
It was weird. There wasn't anything funny. There was no clear thing that they were playing with over and over. Like,
they're right,
guys, the thing about sketch, this is what you do.
Here's what you do.
You have a
get
funny,
a paper and pencil.
Yes. You're gonna want to remember this. You have a funny idea, right?
And that's called game.
That's called game.
And that's what we were talking about before. Game isn't like hopscotch or chess.
Mm-mm.
Game is
it's a funny idea that you want to play with. Okay.
Game is like the funny thing of the sketch. It's like, yes, a concept. It's like, this is like,
and this is also UCB terms.
Blah blah blah.
They're like other
the Groundlings
places,
is not game based.
They don't
but
call
it is
game.
Sort of game based. They just don't want to say it.
Yeah, they a lot of times they'll say, what's the deal?
Or what's like the what's character's the character? Yeah. And that is basically game.
That's the game. So but there it's a one idea that you're exploring.
What is the sketch about?
Exactly, exactly. And that's what a sketch, it's what the art form is. You have, yeah, one idea that you're exploring for 3 to 4 minutes.
Right.
And you have to explore it either in different ways or in like heighten and blow it up.
Yes.
So that's why you can usually figure out what is this scene about.
Right.
Like there are obviously plenty of things that break the rules there. But
this one is literally
what
like
is going
weird
on?
Family being weird.
Nothing is changing. It's just like different. I guess the heightening is how extreme the like,
but
because the police show up.
Right.
And,
but that's so weak. That's literally like you write it in sketch 1-1. And they're like, OK, I see what you're trying to do. Like,
right,
you were heightening because you had police come. But like, what is it that you are heightening?
Right. Right. Yeah. Is the dad like fumbling things and like really really making things more and more dangerous as it goes on?
Right.
That could be fun to watch.
It could be fun, but like we need to know. It's just not clear.
No.
But
they did have fun chemistry with Seth Meyers.
That was fun, but it's like, it's sort of like when, that's the thing that's frustrating, because it's like they could be doing their best, they could be going really hard with the character, but like if you don't know what it's serving,
yeah,
there's nothing you can
there's
do
nothing you can
to
do.
Make it work, because it's not.
And that's what was frustrating, was because I feel like Mary-Kate and Ashley both were like committing to the characters, honestly.
Yeah, they were.
They were doing good, like angsty teen characters. They just had nothing to do. It was just what is the actual
thing
that
they're doing?
Well,
that's literally what I wrote. I was like, they're so down, they're so game, they're so committed, and they're fun, and they're solid at these characters,
yeah,
but the writing isn't good.
Yeah.
So it's like, they actually could have done a really good job on this.
Yeah. And that's really, really frustrating. And I think, yeah, that's my biggest takeaway from the whole episode.
Right. Like, they were not half-assing anything.
No.
They were not like shy at all. Like,
they were having
really
fun.
really doing it.
They were really doing it. They were committing. They weren't like, they didn't even like miss a cue.
No,
like,
they were perfect. I mean, they're professionals. They've been doing this since they were babies.
Yeah. And it's just like so disappointing that they didn't get to do more.
I mean, I will say to someone's credit, like, I don't think that they like wrote a bad show because they didn't respect Mary-Kate and Ashley. Yeah. I think there are things, like Celia said, like we've said, that like they didn't know how to write for them. But I think that where they fell short was just an overall flaw of the show at this time. Yeah. I don't think they were like, oh, let's do a bad job because it's Mary-Kate and Ashley. No. They're still writing their season finale. They still want to do a good job. I think they just weren't consistently good.
Yeah. And I think Mary-Kate and Ashley probably just was like, is a very different type of host. It's, first of all, there's two of them.
Right.
They're like child stars we've seen grow up. They're like, they're very private in their lives. So there's just, and the stuff that you do know is stuff that like is uncomfortable to talk about a teenager.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I don't know. It was a tough assignment for the writers, and it was the last one of the season, so
and it's also like there's every week is a different host. There's no way to possibly know everything about them. It's so fast paced. Just writing a sketch show at all and putting it together in that amount of time is hard, but to like be able to write these for these people with nuance, and it's hard. It's too much. It's like
And so, at the end of the day, you know what? I am just so glad that Mary-Kate and Ashley perfume sketch exists.
It was so good, which is a great segue to us playing this game. But let's just really quickly talk about the end. So Mary-Kate is saying, remember, we're legal in 4 weeks. That to me feels like a bookend of her trying to just really, like we talked about, like play this like character of like, I'm in on it. Uh-huh. I'm schmoozy. I'm zazzy zazzy. Jimmy.
Jimmy. Yeah, and Celia also brought this up at the very end too, was that like, was this Ashley's last acting?
Right.
Last acting gig?
Really great question. So we need to look into that, but I think maybe
It was.
She didn't do, because Mary-Kate, as we know, did some other things, but I don't think Ashley did.
No, she definitely didn't do other, like, she was never in a TV show or a movie again.
No, certainly not. So we need to look at that. But, like, sound off in the comments, because I really think that it was.
I think so. What a way to go out. Like, SNL's the last time I act. Wow.
And then, it was Jimmy Fallon's last show, and it was really weird that they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they usually do, but maybe they didn't back then.
Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm really happy we watched that. It was actually really fun to watch together.
It was.
It was hard to not talk to each other, but I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
We
should do it.
The next one is New York Minute. Oh my God, I can't even handle it. Yeah,
the next one we do is going to be New York Minute. And so
I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to watch it separately?
Yeah. Oh, do you want to watch it together?
I don't know. I'm wondering.
Okay, we'll discuss this offline.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's play the game really quickly.
Okay.
Okay, so Mary-Kate or Ashley? We'll do a couple.
Yeah. I have one. It's stupid.
Great.
RV or tent?
Okay. Do you have it?
I think I have it.
Okay. Tent is Ashley. RV is Mary-Kate.
Oh, I was going to do different.
Because you would think that like, tent is like more rugged, whatever. Right. But I see tent as sort of like more of like a glamping tent, like just like a very chic
and classic.
Yeah, classic. And then the RV is sort of like,
we're gonna do it a spice things up. Yeah, we're gonna camp, but it's gonna be different.
Yeah,
it's
what gonna about be you?
Accessories. I think I was the thing that what made me say Ashley was the RV was just that I think there's a little bit more stuff. Anything that could go wrong or anything that you could need, you have. And it feels more prepared in that way. It feels more like more of a type A person would have an RV, I feel like. And a person who is just like, we're going to figure it out as we go would have a tent.
That's fair. So. But I also would argue that like, you have to have everything planned perfectly in order to successfully be in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in an RV, you have more opportunities to like throw spaghetti at the wall, like plan. Like, I could bring this. I might not need everything. But for a tent, it's like, I need to pack precisely everything I will need. I need to pack my powdered food. I need to plan and be very chic in this tent.
I'm getting very stressed because I'm going camping next weekend.
Oh, no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay, I have a tent.
You'll be great.
I hope so.
I thought we were doing like SNL based stuff, but we could do anything.
No, that's
perfect.
No. You tell me.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say. Well, okay, actually, so the backpack sketch, like the good job at the accents or the bad job at the accents. So like Maya Rudolph versus the boys on it. Mary Kate or Ashley?
The look he just gave me was like, I don't know. I'm sorry, but not really. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, actually, it's tough.
This is a really tough one.
I could do both because my first instinct is Maya Rudolph doing a good job as Mary Kate, and the other ones are Ashley, just because Ashley is like more. Mary Kate's more of an actor.
Yeah.
But I also think that like the opposite could be argued because it's like Ashley is so prepared and exactly. is doing a great job, where Mary Kate is like more loosey goosey and like it'll work out. Hey, man.
And I actually think that that is their approach, which is yeah. why I feel like Ashley ends up hitting a lot more jokes more yeah. often.
Yeah.
Because I think she's a little bit more like neurotic about yes. what this means. And I think Mary Kate, or like not about what this means, but more neurotic about like unpacking every line and like being extra prepared so she doesn't freeze up.
Right. Well, exactly. And we talked about this with Oprah, and we've talked yeah. about this with their interviews before, is like, I think when you are very aware of your hangups with certain things, like being interviewed and being on camera, like you are more prepared.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you do a better job.
Yeah.
Like on Oprah. And I feel like Mary Kate, if she's more go with the flow, it's
she's like, it'll be what it is for
right,
me. You
right.
know?
Right.
So actually, I think I was going to have it flipped, but now I'm convinced.
Yeah. I think that that's true. So okay.
not to say that Mary Kate is bad at accents, but like she's more that energy.
She's more that energy. Exactly.
We're not going to
exactly.
prepare too much. We're going to see what happens.
Exactly.
And have fun with whatever it is.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Your turn.
Oh my God.
Oh my
okay.
God.
Let's do it from the SNL.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Oh, Tina Fey or Amy Poehler? Who's Mary Kate? Who's Ashley?
Okay.
Yeah, I got it too.
Yeah, it's Tina Fey as Ashley and Amy Poehler as Mary Kate.
Yeah.
You'd think on the surface with the hair colors, but that's nothing.
yeah. Get out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we need to explain
it. We don't even
know
that it's obvious.
I think everyone knows.
Ooh. Okay.
Jimmy Fallon or Seth Meyers?
Ooh. Now or back then?
Back then. From this episode of SNL that we just watched.
Okay, I got it. I think Ashley... Oh, do you have it?
I think so.
Ashley is Seth and Mary-Kate is... Jimmy!
That was what I was gonna say too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she's just, yeah, for all the reasons we've already said.
Jimmy is just more of like a ham. Like he's just more of like a, you know.
Yeah, he'll do whatever he feels like he's gonna do in the moment.
Yeah, and he has like, this like inherent charisma of like unpreparedness, sort of just like he can ride on his charms.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think Seth Meyers is more focused on getting
thoughtful,
the job done.
Prepared. Yeah,
he's just like, I know what the sketch needs. I'm going to give that service it that way and give nothing else. Like,
yeah.
Just get the job done. And
yeah,
honestly, everyone's going to appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Drew Barrymore hosting SNL. Mary Kate and Ashley hosting SNL. Which one is Mary Kate? Which one is Ashley?
That's wacky.
It's wacky. And this can be whatever we want. Like, this can be any interpretation we want.
Isn't that always the rule?
Yeah, but like this might have to really like. Okay. I have it.
I think I have it. And I don't know why.
Okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking I'm going to forget.
Okay.
I think that Drew Barrymore hosting SNL is Ashley. And I think Mary-Kate and Ashley holding yep. SNL is Mary-Kate.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why. Do you know why?
I do.
Okay, why?
So the reason is that, first of all, Mary-Kate and Ashley hosting SNL is something Mary-Kate wanted.
Yes.
So that is Mary-Kate.
That does feel big Mary-Kate.
Also, the fact that like Ashley or that Drew Barrymore hosted SNL at age 7
yeah.
is just a very like mature, precocious and yeah. before you need to be type of thing, and that feels very Ashley to me.
Yeah.
So
that's it.
And I think that's all the time we have.
I think that's all the time we have.
But that was really fun. We should do that more often.
What?
The game. Our favorite game.
Our favorite game that was originated on SNL 20 years ago, yeah, apparently.
We were going to do this game like every single episode.
But then we always ran out of time.
Yeah.
Sorry we love to talk to you guys.
And to each other.
And to each other. All right.
Wow, we really unpacked fun. A lot. We did.
We that really was, did. That was really fun. I hope you guys had fun too.
Yeah, we like talked about relationships. We talked about sexism. We talked about. We didn't even really talk about racism that much.
Well, we didn't need to. We just needed to tell you how racist there was even it was. More racist stuff that we didn't even mention. Like
there's so much.
We're not even going to tell you. But like it was pretty much. That's the thing. Is like it was just. It wasn't like, oh, this was around at the time. It was sort of the foundation.
Yes, of comedy.
Exactly. And that is what is horrifying.
Horrifying.
But we are not doing that anymore, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys, next week, can you, or next episode,
next
can
episode.
You fucking believe it? It is next week, actually, because...
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. Because we kind of, I don't think we fucked up, but we definitely got confused. We didn't realize how many Tuesdays there were in April. So we were always going to do New York Minute May 7th.
Because that's literally 20 years after it came out.
Exactly. And then like the math after that got a little confusing. Yeah. So we're going to have two episodes back to back here. And it's going to be for good reason because we've got SNL this week. And next week, May 7th, tell your friend, tell your mother, tell your sister, tell your brother, tell your mother, tell your neighbor, tell everybody.
20-year
anniversary of New York Minute.
You would be very prepared if you watched it, is what I'm trying to say.
So you should watch it.
It would behoove you to watch it.
Let's get the whole world talking about New York Minute.
Let's get the world talking. No one's talking about New York Minute.
I think everyone's going to be like, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Someone said that like the Doogie Green Day album is like having its 30-year anniversary and like people are freaking out about that. Yeah. And I think they will freak out even more if they realize it's been 20 years since New York Minute.
So get the word out. Yes. Tell your friends.
And then tell everybody that there actually is two brilliant women who are going to be doing a review on that day.
Yes.
And it's going to be the best way we could all celebrate.
Yes.
So we should all listen.
Have your friends have listening parties.
And then tell them about us. We're the brilliant women. Well, I don't know if that was clear.
I didn't know what you were talking about. Okay. So excited. We can't believe we're finally here. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week when we talk about New York Minute. It might be a two-part episode. I assume it probably will be.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll cross the bridge when we get there. We love you so much.
Love you so much.
You can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at They Thought I Was You. You can follow us. You can write us a review on
Apple Podcasts. Write us a review. Give us 5 stars and we'll shout you out
on the pod and on our Instagram.
That's right.
You can email us at theythoughtiwasyou@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our Patreon. You can watch our video, watch as my hair dries. And you can follow Lanny at Lanny Harms.
You can follow Becca at Becca Roth.
And we are so excited. This was so much fun. We're so excited to do New York Minute next week.
So fun.
Okay.
Bye.
They thought I was you. If it's up to me, you're on.